Does it sound like someone has a blower in the same room as me? Like a leaf blower or something?
No, it's not that bad, but you can hear a little bit of like a little
Hold on, let me go turn off the fan and see if that makes a difference. Hold on. Does that make a difference?
Yes, sir, very much so, sir.
Oh, sucks.
Why is it really hot in that room? Or yeah.
Well, it gets hot in this room. It's like a box. It gets kind of boxy and hot.
Yeah, so yeah. So hot boxy is what you're saying?
Sort of, yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily use that term.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, if you are, I'm not going to argue with you.
All right. Does it get, like, up to, like, 420 degrees in there or something? Or does it just feel that way?
No. Doesn't get that hot. What temperature would substances get to when they turn to vapor? Doesn't combust.
Oh, not 420? I thought it was like 420.
Yeah.
But
I think that's probably a little high.
Possibly a little high. Let's see. I don't know.
Let's find out. Dear Wikipedia, I never thought this would happen to me. Wait a second. Yeah, I did.
Oh, this Duval is nice and cold. And,
what is?
My upstairs room. I had this. Yeah. I've been trying to get Sonia to let me put up a door here because my kids complain that I'm too loud. During these things.
You are pretty loud.
I'm just normally, right? My voice carries no matter what.
You do.
But on top of that, you know, basically, you know how my house is configured. The stairwell goes right down. The sound just basically falls right into
towards the room where children might sleep.
Exactly. But the other thing that I'm complaining about is it gets really hot up here. And I was talking to my friend, and I was looking at getting possibly doing a like a ductless air conditioning. I'm not sure if you've seen that or heard of it.
Is that just like a unit, like a standalone unit?
Yeah, well, it's not like a window unit, but what it does have like a condenser outside.
It's like a stand-up unit. It stands in the room.
There's those, but the one that I'm actually referring to is more along the lines of there's a unit that sits outside, which is a condenser, and then you run basically some piping, but not duct, to a basically like the slim unit that sits at the top of your sort of like towards your ceiling on your wall. And that's where the air conditioning is. But you don't have to run a duct, and it has like a pipe to go back out to let the water out and electricity and coolant come in from the condenser outside. And I think I got all that right. But the point is that, you know, it's just a 10 centimeter hole you got to drill in your wall to get it. And then it also will keep the temperature at whatever temperature you set for that room. So I was looking at that, but then I was talking to my friend, and he's like, well, you know, one of the problems I have is that the vent for the air conditioner is like, you draw a line straight from the stairs to the vent, essentially. And so what happens is when the air, and by the way, in the stairwell, there's a, like a return, sucking in air. And, so what happens is basically all the cold air as it comes out just gets sucked right down the stairs. So it was like, it's just incredibly hot up here.
So without some kind of a block, like a door.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Kind of screwed.
Right. But then he also pointed out, that you could also screw up the return by doing that too, because you're blocking the airflow that they designed in there. But he pointed out, he said, well, why don't you just get a vent that just points the direction toward furthest away from the stairwell. In other words, in this case, if you're looking from the stairs up to the right towards where I'm at.
Bring it.
And I said, because
into the room.
Yeah. Cause it splits. It's got the vent that it had coming out was like, it had two directions it was going. And one of them was going towards like nothing. There's like, it's just short, shallow wall. The wall that's just, you know, basically only like 3 feet away from the stairwell. Anyway. So anyway, today I finally took him up on that idea, which he gave me like 2 days ago, but I just installed it. Ever since then, I'm feeling the air conditioner every time it comes on over here in my desk. It's amazing. Yes. And this has been This Old House with John and Serve.
Wow. So.
Oh, and the answer is 355 to 385 degrees Fahrenheit.
So did they not install your AC ducts correctly?
Well, if you ask me, no.
Oh. Because how old is your house? How old is your house?
Built in 1999.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, did you, just out of curiosity, did you make sure that they checked for like mold and stuff? Because I heard that, you know, like new ductwork is like flawed, and that you do get a lot of mold and stuff. And this only because I know this from one of my clients who specializes in like, you know, searching out mold and stuff from people's houses. And Ed McMahon's house was loaded with mold.
And that was just Ed McMahon. I did not know that.
Sir! Yeah.
That's even better, sir.
Yes. So, you should make sure you get that checked out for mold, because you don't want your kids breathing in all that stuff.
Oh, we don't have it. I was here the entire time during the construction.
It's not like they're going to put mold in. You should have
literally
them looking.
Live. You wouldn't leave the construction site.
I missed one day, and that was the day that they wound up putting a hole in my roof.
Oh, what? Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
The day that I missed, what happened was I missed one day.
Hey, fellas, he's not here. Let's put him.
Well, what happened was they put up, you know, it's not exactly particle board, but sort of is for your roof before they put down the tar paper on top of it.
Yeah.
And then the shingles and whatnot. Well, one of the boards had the corner just like torn apart. So like it had like this hole about, oh, I don't know, big enough to fit a foot through is what I was trying to say. I haven't been drinking yet either.
Scott, it's manly stuff.
So,
ew.
So, and then they come back
in 10 minutes.
Then they started to put the tar paper over it. And I went back and I was there the next day after they had put the paper over it. I'm like, you going to leave that board there? Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. I'm like, until I have to climb on the roof. Well, don't climb on the roof. Sometimes we have to climb. Sometimes people have to go on the roof. That's
don't
just how
you know I have to save Santa each year after he's drinking and driving?
Yeah, you can put the Santa's going to fall straight through that hole. You know, like, well, you know, it's going to have the tar paper. You tear down that tar paper, put a new plywood board up there. I'm not paying the amount of money that I'm paying for this house to be built for you to just half-ass it.
Oh my God, I got to tell you what I'm drinking, because this is really, really good.
Because your story is so entertaining, John.
I know, it's John. True. You already lost me.
She's
going to
tell you
blah, blah, blah,
what
blah, blah.
She's drinking, because
it's but you said you weren't
roof
having,
story sucks.
I know. Have you been, how many stories do you have? Like several?
One and a half, technically. I have a bonus room. Oh. I have a bonus room that's upstairs, and that's it.
Are you
it's
in
like
the bonus
two
room?
Yeah,
I mean, it's only one room, but.
Yeah.
So it's like hot up there, right? All the time.
Well, so you missed the beginning of the discussion, which is where we figured out that one of my friends at work said, you have the wrong kind of vent up there. It was a split vent, so it was splitting the air left and right. But there was nothing to the one side of it, and I'm on the other side. And so it's right above the stairs, and the air was just getting – every podcast listener, sorry, you're having to listen to this all over again.
That's all right. Widge will cut it out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like he cuts out all my eating.
Yeah, like he does editing.
It's in the script. So the air was being sucked down. Well, he told me, why don't you just get a vent that just pushes all the air in one direction? And sure enough, I got it all coming in all one direction. That's what she said. And
that was funny.
I know it wasn't. But now it's actually cooled off immensely here, and it's only been the first time that I had it. I can feel the air come on every single time.
Wow.
Yeah,
so,
I know. Fascinating.
So is it like broiling hot in Tampa today?
83, 84?
Is there a difference between boiling hot and boiling hot?
Wasn't that bad. I ran today.
Furnace hot.
How far did you run, Serve?
4 miles. 4.25 miles.
Who was chasing you, Serve?
Zombies.
Really?
Ow. No.
What? Why? What's wrong, Scott? What's wrong, Scott?
I'm hearing people exercising and doing all this shit, and I just feel like I'm old and
Scott,
fat.
All you have to do is, like, go out, walk around the block or something.
I do that, but it's like...
Do you?
Yeah. But I am doing something. Oh, I am doing something that might help. I'm a guinea pig.
Really? Oh my God!
What are you doing with guinea pigs?
Oh my gosh! What are they doing?
What are you doing with the guinea pig? Put the guinea pig down.
Scott.
I am testing out a nutritional supplement.
Oh. Huh.
Is
that Pena?
Yeah.
Oh no! This thing is like no.
Is it creatine?
No, the pills are huge for one thing. I mean, we're talking.
Scott,
about,
you don't eat them.
I'm not eating them, but they're like.
I told you you're able to get very large things in your mouth, though, Scott.
Yeah, but not all the way down.
I was going to ask if it was the cream in the clear, but that might go the wrong way too.
Scott, they don't go that way.
But it's no, it was interesting. They did the test. They did like blood work, and they did a DEXA scan.
Yeah.
Which is like a full body scan deal, and they did, you know, all these various tests and stuff, and they gave me these pills to take to see if they helped me lose weight.
Is this for the university or something?
Yes.
How'd you?
Did they tell you?
There's a new college
effects?
Of medicine there.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. I heard several different people. So.
School of Medicine is.
Oh, from an ad. There's an ad in the paper, and I figured they're looking for
on Craigslist.
Overweight people. It's like, that's me, so take this, say, hey.
Take this liquid.
Scott, usually when they test things, they warn you that there might be side effects. Was there any weird ones that they told you about?
They said look out for adverse effects, but they said the people they've tested, they haven't had any.
Did you like anything like oily discharge?
Steve in IT hasn't had any problems yet.
No, they haven't really said anything about
a day.
I just started today, so.
Oh, well, oh my gosh, Scott!
Well, certainly
fur,
that's
there was no fur before.
Time.
Scientifically, that is a sound statement that you made earlier.
Wow, Scott.
I have no issue so far in the 2 hours since I've had this.
Until you wake up and, you know.
Don't smell the coffee.
But it's really important because part of the ingredients is caffeine.
Uh huh. Really?
One of the major ingredients of this thing is caffeine.
Okay. So you're
probably one of Widge's many multi-tentacled experiments.
Scott.
What?
Scott, you're on speed.
Well, I don't know if speed has green tea in it.
How's Sandra Bullock?
Heyo.
Aaron's out for the night. He's done.
But it's like,
top that one.
Leave him
one.
Top it.
He needs
caffeine and amino acids.
Aaron needs some water in about 10 minutes.
Well, how much caffeine?
Well, they didn't.
He is a young guy.
Yeah, not that much young. Not that young anymore.
Ooh.
That
much young. Hey.
Ooh.
It's true, but still, hey.
Are you?
You don't have to say it on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Don't remind me of it.
Do we need to send you some little blue pills?
Just send those suppositories that you're taking, Scott.
You know what? I've never taken any drugs in my life, any illegal drugs. I've never had any in my life. But I'd give Viagra a go for the laugh.
If you don't have the issue, it doesn't affect you.
Like a yeah.
I'm told it still gives you a hard on though, even if you're not experiencing problems, it's still supposed to give you one.
This would be interesting though, because with Aaron's pale skin, this is the thing with Aaron's pale skin. What I've also heard is also makes you very flush because it increases blood supply to everything. So it would look like he's embarrassed by the hard on.
Look like giant sunburn.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I am never embarrassed by my hard-on. I'm only ever embarrassed when I don't have a hard-on.
You see blue. You see everything turns blue. So you'll be entering into Hard on Smurf Town.
Wasn't that a Bob Dylan tune?
Hard on Smurf Town is the worst porno ever.
Or the best.
Isn't that the one Lee starred in?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Ironically, she wasn't Smurfette.
She was Gargamel?
Her hair is dark.
She was Papa Smurf. It was an odd choice, I thought, casting-wise.
Yeah, yeah, Smurf porn, the next generation. I don't know if that has to do with anything.
Hey, witch!
If they crossed over the next generation porn with Smurf porn, there's a whole
awesome
world open for you right there.
Yeah. So to speak.
I left that one for you, John.
That's what she said. What? Right away.
No pun intended.
Oh, did you hear? Did you hear that I am a part of a medical study?
Yeah, we did.
Scott, I've always thought that of you.
How do we make them so gay?
You're making me take pills.
Apparently, the medical the pills are making him forget what he just said 15 minutes ago.
No, I'm telling Witch. He wasn't there for his bit, so I'm telling him.
John, drugs don't work. Ben Harper, go.
Oh, hold on. Sorry, I was throwing stuff away.
That's not true.
So is the medical community.
No, but what's interesting is the dietary supplement they're giving me, one of their major components is caffeine.
He's taking it for a day. How many pills did you take so far, Scott? One?
Four.
Wait, okay, Scott, what are they studying?
They got a new dietary supplement to see if it helps people lose weight. It's like
crackers.
It's called not eating.
No, it's well, I don't know about that, but it's got like caffeine, green tea, and a bunch of amino acids.
And next, you'll be reading Variety.
It sounds like you're just drinking tea.
I know, Scott. How big is this suppository you're taking?
It's not a suppository. It is not a suppository.
You said it's a big pill.
Suppository.
Putting it in the wrong area.
No, it's not a suppository.
Well, I've always thought Scott was a bit of a big pill.
Scott, I thought you'd enjoy a suppository.
Whoa.
No, there's... I don't think we need to go into that, do we, Witch?
No, but I tell you one thing we do need to go into is this right here.
Best I could find is a verb cover.
That's okay.
That's the only one I knew of. That's when you said Ben Harper. I was like, I thought that was a verb song.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a live acoustic track that I got from somewhere. Stuff just winds up in my iTunes, and I honestly have no idea. I think I download it in a fugue state. I have no idea where this shit comes from.
All right, this is also his excuse when the people find porn on his computer.
No, that's my excuse.
When you find...
porn on my computer?
That's where I was going with that.
Grandmother finds porn all the time. Scott!
But apparently I have to start drinking. What are you drinking, Widge?
I am drinking a sixth glass. Oh, it's so delicious. It's so delicious coming out of the bottle. It's so orangey-ambery.
There we go.
Your sixth glass of what?
Exactly.
There we go.
I've got...
Oh, hell yes! What was that?
That was Duvel that I've been holding off on drinking for some time.
Well done, brother.
John's gonna get toasty.
I will say this though.
He got that duct work done, so he's not gonna be toasty.
Well, yes. Was that done with a suppository as well? Oh no, a different kind of duct.
We had a small little house.
Well, he had a whole bunch
episode
of men over to take care of the duct. So.
Whoa! Warning.
And they left it, and they had a hole in his roof, so to speak. So,
yeah,
they worked his hose.
What is Rocks drinking? That's what I want to know.
I've got a Harvest Down Special 18 Reserved, aged in selected oak casks, formerly used to mature Highland Park smoky sweet, perfectly balanced 18-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey. It is nice.
Well, I am drinking the 0% Volvic Natural Mineral Water, like a boss.
Wow. This is 8% alcohol. 8%.
Well.
Serve.
Isn't Duvel like 12?
Duvel.
I think it is.
No, Duvel is 8.5.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know what's weird, though? John, I don't know what.
But it is 1.9, 9.5.
4 fluid ounces.
So John, you're of course familiar with.
It says pour unhurriedly, unhurriedly, unhurried. Okay, just that word. Go ahead. Sorry.
Also speak unhurriedly. So John, you're familiar with Pirat, P-I-R-A-A-T.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a 9, and for some reason, I don't drink that unless I want to get fucked up. I have no idea what it is about that particular beer that just really hits me.
It's the same with Duvel as well. Is it even though it's only 8.5, it's still. You know why? Probably because you can drink a lot of it.
What's it called?
It just goes down real easy for you. Is that what it is?
I'll drink like a bottle of it, and I just it's not even that it's that I'm drinking faster. I mean, no, it's delicious. So yes, you're right. It's very easy to drink, but I'll like drink a bottle of it, not even a bomber, but just like a bottle of it. And I just feel like,
I'd be interested to see a fucked up Widge because I've been around you drinking, but I've never seen you like toe up.
Oh, Aaron, let me just tell you something. Tomorrow night, if you were here, you would see a fucked up Widge because I am, and I'm glad Lee's not on the call because Lee took me last year and I don't believe she's going this year. So I'm going in her stead to carry the banner, but I am going to the Scotch Extravaganza thing here in Atlanta.
John, we need to go.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't invite us.
I have been talking about this for a fucking year, telling everybody
last
month.
I talked about it on this podcast. I posted.
I'm going to listen to this show, and I'll probably see that you
for the first time. She's going to listen to the show.
Okay. I know. Wow.
God help.
My plan has worked perfectly. No,
we have tripled
they have
our listeners.
Something like Aaron. They have something like 100 scotches there to taste,
and I will try them all.
I managed to bore you into a car.
Is this anything like that caffeine expo you went to?
Yes, Scott.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh
yes.
God.
Now I will say this. I was the difference is now for those who aren't familiar with what Scott was talking about, the Specialty Coffee Association of America. Everyone
that's
was
made up.
No, it's true. It's seriously. So, dude, it was amazing. Okay,
with the Coffee World Council,
yeah, and the Bacon World. No, I have a caffeine tolerance like that could kill a rhino. I mean, and they filled part of the. I think it was at. I want to say it was at the World Congress Center here in Atlanta, but because it was years ago that I went, but they had literally like just it's like San Diego Comic Con, but for coffee. And like, for example, South America had their own booth and every country had like carafes of coffee. And, you know, you don't want to show up and not try something because that would be an international incident, right? So I was drinking everything. Mm-hmm. Cosette was with me. She's like, oh, I think I'm done with that.
You mean another international incident?
That's very true. But no, I was buzzed after an aisle and a half. So I've felt my hair growing like I have not since... Because I used to
see through time. Now the thing is you see coffee tasters and they use a teaspoon. You should have done that.
Yeah, but this is Widge.
Yes, but you have to understand, Rox. They were making just here. Try a latte, a full latte. Okay, thank you. We'll do that.
Yeah, it's like going to a winery and not swallowing. It's I mean you could spit it out, but you could also be a bitch.
Nobody. Hey, that's true.
Hey, I got a special favor to ask our friend on serve.
Our friend
who is on currently on top of serve.
Oh Jesus! Okay.
What?
Oh. Okay.
No serve. Amen. Serve. Is there any possibility you can move your wedding up 1 month?
No, I don't think so.
Because actually, the festival you were just talking about, Widge, is in Portland, Oregon, April 19th.
Well, now what I would say is they do rotate back to Atlanta every few years. So just hang out and you'll have an excuse to come up.
Well, I'm already flying out to Portland.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But a month too late, though, apparently.
But no, Rox, they had –
No, just go a month early and enjoy.
Just stay.
Yeah. We know someone that lives up there.
We know several people.
Portland's in his backyard.
And you can have Voodoo Donuts.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, John, you get like 6 months off a year, don't you?
Yeah.
I get, well,
Carry four.
And maybe you can show up as an extra in Portlandia.
Yeah, there you go.
Three and a half, but yeah, sure.
Oh my god, you could dumpster dive. Apparently they got good dumpsters in Portland.
You can get the smartphone app, though. It's available...
For dumpster diving?
For dumpster diving. I'm sure there is one.
Of course there is.
What are we talking about? Portland? We're talking about scotch, weren't we?
Yeah, well, so anyway, the difference is with the scotch, they have like a buffet that you can just hit so you can eat and drink so that you're not like just drinking and you knock yourself out because you got 2.5 hours to sample as much stuff as possible. And you know, let me finish this talk.
Yeah, go.
It'll be gone because it's me. You have to pace yourself because they start bringing out the big guns at the end. At the end last year is when they pulled out the 33-year-old blended classic cask scotch, which was the smoothest thing ever. The scotch that I, in my drunken tasting notes, which got increasingly more insane as the evening went on and I got drunker, I described it as Natalie Portman in a glass. That's how good it was. Yeah, exactly.
Like Dita Von Teese and her big giant glass. That's what you're talking about, right?
Kind of like
that's the image I've got in my head right now.
Kind of like that, but Natalie Portman instead.
Now, what kind of food do they
serve? I'll be back in a minute.
Whiskey tasting.
they've got like a salad bar, and they've got like two meat tables where they're just carving off roast and stuff like that. And so, I mean, it's you can pace yourself quite well. And they don't give you like full drams or something. You've got a little tasting glass and they'll give you a little taste of it.
But so, if you add it all up,
then you would get the craziest blended scotch ever.
Well, no, the reason I was wondering is if they calibrate like the food to make sure it doesn't interfere with the taste of the whiskey.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You do get, they have like lots of bottled water around. So you can.
That's a vomitorium. That's for special guests.
Ew.
You have to pay extra. See,
when you're drinking and eating at the same time. Sorry, you may not have heard me screaming, up, and away!
ew.
When you're eating and drinking at the same time, I think the trick is really to go easy on the food. Because while you do need it to soak up, at the same time, too much food with some booze on you just creates sleepy time.
Yes, that's true. But you only have 2.5 hours to hit as much of it as you can. So the trick is to pace yourself with the understanding that at the end of 2.5 hours, you can die. So.
Oh, that's all it is. The whole day is like 2.5 hours.
Well, first, they do this thing which was fascinating called the whiskey panel. And they have all the brand ambassadors from like 7 or 8 brand ambassadors there from the various brands that sit. It's literally like the Justice League of liquor. And you ask them questions, and literally like last year was after like the disaster in Japan with the tsunami and the earthquake and the nuclear plant. And someone was asking the rep who was there for the Japanese scotches. Suntory? What's that?
The Suntory?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, well, the rep was there for like the 3 brands that were there. So he was covering all the Japanese brands, basically going, what are you guys doing to make sure that your water is going to be safe to make scotch with? And he was prepared to answer. And the crazy thing was the Macallan guy who is Lee and my favorite, Lee's favorite scotch, got me addicted to it. It's my favorite scotch, was talking, answering a question like, you know, how long is scotch good for? And the guy was saying, well, I have about, my own stash of about 5,000 bottles of scotch that I have just for experimental purposes. No snickering. He was serious. This is a guy who had like a lab with scotch in it. And I'm thinking that must be the most awesome tax write-off ever.
Lab.
Yeah. Yep. So he goes, yeah, what I've found is that basically by the time you get down to just a little bit in the bottle, you got more oxygen in there than scotch. So it's going to start to affect your scotch. So just finish it. But otherwise, you'll need to recork your bottle before your scotch will be going bad. And I think that about every 7 years, you need to change out the cork. I'm like, oh my God, you know way too much about this shit.
Hey, there was a guy on Susie Orman over the weekend, and he wanted to buy a...
There was a guy on Susie Orman? I didn't think she was into that.
No, she wasn't, but he called in. He was a caller.
A minute ago.
There was this caller on the Susie Orman show who wanted to buy, I believe it was a 150-year-old scotch.
Oh, my God.
And it was
God.
Like it was an unreal amount of money. It was like $7,000 or
did
something.
Did she let him or no?
No.
Okay.
She did not. Because he really didn't have enough saved away for his rainy day, you know, 3 months.
You know,
he lost
you know
job.
Here's how you know that he did not have enough money to buy that scotch. He was calling Susie Orman.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. She let some guy, he was 65. She let him buy a first edition Alice in Wonderland retailing for $16,000. Because he actually had the money.
Now here's the thing: why are you calling Susie Orman if you have the money?
Because it's entertainment. It's like remember the psychic lady? You know, she's entertainment.
In fairness, John, why would we call Rocks?
Speaking of which, next Wednesday, Rocks.
Oh. Yeah, next Wednesday we got to nail Kim down somehow.
Hello.
882-6625.
You know,
69.
Rocks, I ask you, was it really a 150-year-old scotch? Because I just did a look for what is the world's oldest scotch?
It was something.
Well, what I found was the world's oldest scotch was the crate that they found from the Shackleton expedition.
Wow.
Which was over 100 years old.
Oh, well, I don't know. It was up there. It was creeping up there. I don't know if, see, here's the funny thing about like scotch and stuff.
It just calls it's you, like,
it was at least
no,
10
no,
years
I,
old.
Okay. You've heard me tell stories. I leave gaps out on purpose. Come on. It's like this beer I'm drinking.
It was found by Shackleton too?
Is yeah, oh. But it was only
it's 150 years old.
Yeah, that's the real reason the Shackleton expedition failed.
They believe you know, it's a good year. I paid a lot for it, like
that's
around $12.
Scott, well done.
And it's all they did was age it, and they don't say how long in an 18-year-old like what they would age malt whiskey in scotch for 18 years. So it's. That cask is no more used for scotch. It's now used for this beer.
Well, Rox, here's my question.
Hold on, my son just scared the heck out of me.
Yes.
What?
So, you know how that happens is suddenly he walks up in the middle of the podcast and goes, "What happens when you get a girl pregnant?"
Oh! Ow.
All right, I'm back. What?
Exactly. No,
888. 665-8825. Call!
How did
you organize the penguins to attack the Shackleton expedition?
You know, radio control.
Yeah, were they Batman too, right?
Were they missile launching penguins?
Let me just point out that your own adage proves true. Because the 150-year-old scotch you didn't say with as much conviction as radio controlled penguins. So what happened? 150-year-old scotch, I'm Googling, radio-controlled penguins. I'm sitting here nodding, going, of course. Oh, my God. Well, Rox, here's my question about, like, the aged beer. It almost sounds like less that they wanted to age it and more that they lost a case of it in the warehouse somewhere and went, Oh, fuck, how long has this been here?
Hey, just stamp a number. I mean, it's really good beer. Don't get me wrong. It's very nice. It's by the same people that make the black engine oil stuff that I drink.
Oh, right.
And it's really good. It's very smooth. It's
the black engine oil stuff, the same thing you put into your Zeppelin?
It is, yes.
Okay.
And my bike. Anyway, it is really good. It's just I'm always confused when they use, you know, oak casks that they've used for something else. For, you know, flavoring beer and stuff. I mean, how do they rate the price of such, you know, such an item? You know, they could put it in an oil can for all we know.
They taste it before they bottle it and before they price it.
No, what they do is they consult the price is shite.
888-665-8825.
Is it sad that I'm already looking forward to the Fun Fest at DragonCon this year?
It's sad. Yes. Wrong. It's sad that your life is...
Yes, it is. It is sad and wrong.
I don't know. It's only like a couple months away, isn't it?
Shut up.
6 months, I think.
150 days, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look at DragonCon.org.
It to make spreadsheets, Widge.
Oh, God!
156 days.
Less than last year,
it's
though.
Not the night before.
Not yet.
That's true. That's true, sir. What was I thinking?
Excuse me.
Oh, God. Okay, so here's my question. Is it time to finally discuss the finale of Walking Dead?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
Or actually, we can start
Get
off.
Out.
I'm really?
Kidding.
You did not see
I'm
it?
I'm kidding.
Yeah, John's such a kidder.
We could talk about the Prometheus.
Margot Kidder.
Oh, God. Well, no, here's what's... Now,
is
here's
that,
what's
is that a 300? Because I actually like that.
What? Oh, fuck yeah, Prometheus. Hell yes. That correct. Completely passes the 300 test.
Okay, I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, this is
now great. Here's what I would say is that here's what it does is that the alien saga has sort of transcended horror and sci-fi in that people who aren't into horror and sci-fi at least are aware of it.
Yes.
And so you have created a kind of crazy sci-fi thing that looks mysterious and thriller enough where anyone who is even remotely interested in any of the genres that it touches, I think, is going to go see it. Because hot damn, that new trailer looks amazing. Just my favorite shot is when Idris Elba is in the cockpit of whatever ship that's like it's clear, and he's standing there, and they're descending through a storm. That looks fucking amazing.
And you know what the cool thing is all the designs look like, you know, because Ron Cobb designed some of the stuff as well as Geiger. On the first one?
Oh, shit. I honestly don't remember. I'd have to look it back up. Because I am more familiar with Aliens than Alien. Because I think Alien... I liked Alien all right the first time. But I'm not as huge a fan of it in subsequent...
Oh, there we go. Yep. Ron Cobb. Oh, man, I love Ron Cobb's design. Here's a guy, sorry, Scott. Here's a guy that can design stuff. And he made a spaceship look like a freaking truck. I mean, my coworker and I were talking about, you know, Alien. It's like, yeah, it's like, forget Firefly. Not to step on your feet, Firefly folk. But I mean, here you had Alien, where you had a bunch of, you know, people who were just like working class Joes that had a starship. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And I remember seeing the first schematics and I kind of tried to mimic Ron Cobb's drawings because I just love the way he did technical drawings and stuff.
It was a ship that felt lived in. Mm-hmm. That wasn't pristine and new.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Yeah. Now, speaking of, there's a thing, I judge movies sometimes by how good looking the actors are, because the less pretty people in a movie is sometimes the better movie, because it's more, in a way, you know you're going to get something that's not just like for the tween market. If you think of Aliens, there's no real lookers in that movie.
Yeah, you know, it's Prometheus to me is so far removed from the tween market. Let me put it to you this way. Where is the Breaking Dawn Part 2 trailer not going to be aired? In front of Prometheus. Let me just put it that way.
No, but if you think of like Aliens versus Predator, pretty people, right? Yeah. Sometimes the shit movies, you can see them a mile away just because of the pretty people in them. And like Alien and Aliens don't have pretty people in them at all. It's just, you know, some rough.
Oh my God! I'm sorry. Do you know Ron Cobb designed the ecology flag?
Rox is just like geeking out right now.
I'm sorry.
But I am slightly worried by the fact that Prometheus is populated by gorgeous people.
I think there's a bit of grunge though in the alien world. I mean, it's just like it's like, all right, John would. understand this. It's like the heating and air ducts.
John is grungy.
Don't work. And John, you've been working up in a half attic for how long? And the air conditioning just doesn't work.
Oh, wait a minute. John, do you not even have a full attic? Do we need to buy you another half attic to get a full attic?
There is one wall that just, when it rains, water's just coming straight in. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, great.
It's only half of an attic.
It's like
nicer in the summer, though.
It's like a Ridley Scott film.
It is. It's like Aliens. Okay, even that crappy-ass apartment that Ripley had, it's like, all you can imagine is, like, the walls are sweating. Because
yeah, but that's what I mean.
King.
Those movies were ugly, in my case, one looks really pretty.
Well, here's what I would say. Here's what I would say, Aaron, is that based on, let me put you this way, based on the trailer, they may start off pretty, but it's going to get ugly.
I don't see it as pretty.
And also, I will say this, I know your point about pretty versus, you can still be attractive, like Sigourney Weaver, attractive, but not one of the beautiful people.
Yeah, she's not a model, essentially. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But see, I think that, like, for example, Rox, help me out. She was the original Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah, whatever her name.
Yeah, whatever. Yes, whatever. She is
sweet
attractive.
Girl.
She is attractive, but she, to me, is not pretty. She was in Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows as well.
Even the chick that plays the Dragon Tattoo, there's a bit of a grungeness to her.
I agree, but
that's,
I'm saying
the character, in though.
No, I know, but I will say this also is that the one shot in the new trailer of Charlize Theron, while she is very attractive, she doesn't look like a model in that. She looks very subdued and kind of odd.
Yeah,
so,
did you notice the lack of Fassbender in the trailer?
What? The trailer ends with Fassbender.
But, like, did it? I didn't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm...
Have you seen the new trailer? There is a new...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it ends with him. He has the closing line of the trailer.
Yes.
Oh, no, but I mean, like, as, like, a main character. He's not going to be a main character in it, it seems.
I think, like, you know what? I'll bet anything they're going, like, the way they did First Alien, where you had... It was more ensemble than anything else.
Yeah, but basically what I'm making out is I think he's a goner early on in the film.
Well, I think, frankly, the way the trailer paints him, I think he's the android of the group.
Ooh. Yeah, I could see him. Yeah, I could see him. Yeah, he would be like Ian Holm.
Yeah.
You know, the one that would love to trigger everything.
Every film has an android.
Naomi Rapace was the name of the girl you were looking for before. Which.
Oh, thank you for looking that up. But yes.
He didn't look that up. He pulled it off the top of his head.
So I don't know. I think
shut up, John.
I take your point though in that when you cast models into situations in which models wouldn't be there, but I don't know, the cast as a whole doesn't look extremely pretty to me. And
I mean they're good actors. We know they're good actors. All these people they're incredibly pretty people, but they are we have seen them do great stuff.
Okay.
So.
All right, I can see. Where you're thinking. Now, if you really want to go with pretty people, you would have put what's her name? That's in that, you know. Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah, her.
Sorry, go ahead.
Totes.
No, just move on.
No, my thing is how old are these pretty people? Because if it's really pretty people, we're talking about like teenager, early 20s, who haven't, like, learned their crap.
No, they're 30s.
So they're pretty, but they've been around the block a couple times, so, you know, they're not going to be like, you know, they're going to be like, what's your name, Christian Stewart, and just sort of like...
They look like they could have gone to college and be qualified for their jobs. Yes,
okay,
I understand what you mean. They're not looking like, you know, 19 and super cops. Like,
okay, right, exactly. Here it is. It's Julia Roberts. You would never see Julia Roberts in a film like this. You would never see her in a film like
that. No, because she's busy being in Mirror, Mirror.
She would never get... honestly, have we ever seen her in anything that would make her dirty? No.
Pretty Woman.
She wasn't really dirty. Oddly enough, she was like the cleanest hooker I've ever seen portrayed.
And trust me, Rox has looked.
And I've looked.
No, I will say this. I will give her this, Rox, is that she was not... she was attractive but not pretty in Erin Brockovich. That was probably the most we've seen her stretch, I think.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that.
We're never going to see her run from a monster, but I think because she's probably over that shit, though. You know what I mean?
Although, I will say this, though. The other one I would throw out would be in Closer, because while they were pretty people, they were doing some very unpretty things.
Now, I can see Tilda Swinton in a Ridley Scott film.
Oh, God, yes. Tilda Swinton can do anything.
Yeah.
Tilda Swinton is fantastic.
But she just needs to do a David Bowie biopic already.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Wow, good call. But no, I am really looking forward to Prometheus. I think that while the only thing I would say about the difference between a 300 and a Prometheus from a marketing standpoint is that I want to talk about something else on marketing, which I find fascinating in a second. I say that as a note to myself because I have no brain. Is that, like I said, it's going to appeal to a certain range of genres, whereas 300 appealed to everyone with a penis. But I do think that everyone who is
I was going to say, I don't know. I think that it also appealed to.
You have one.
I don't know if I have one. It also appealed to the women because of the dudes walking around that were completely abbed out. So.
Well, that's true. But I'm just saying from the standpoint of.
The killing, yes.
Yeah. There was just something about that having your penis just spoke up and went, we're going to that. You're like, okay.
And Scott's penis spoke up for a completely different reason.
So here's my big question, though.
Yes.
Is, okay, everybody splits hairs on Alien anyway. Is it sci-fi? Is it horror? Is he going to go with a sci-fi for the prequel?
Ever considered horror? Because I never considered it horror.
Well, I would think I would argue that it was both, and the reason for that is because it is a horror movie that happens to be sci-fi. Let's put it that way.
I would say it was a suspense more than horror.
Well,
I don't know that
I would call it a scary sci-fi movie.
Yeah,
not necessarily gone all the way horror for it now, but scary.
I don't go all the way horror.
Well, let me put it this way.
That's not what the bathroom stall says.
I just
the
take a tip
why,
of horror.
The reason why I put it into horror is because I understand the whole haunted house, oh, where is it? We're being chased by something we can't see a lot. That for me, normally is a thriller. But the idea that they put forward that we hadn't seen before of this is something that not only will it get you, but it will put itself inside you. And come out of you,
right.
Which is
like Scott.
Well, even
they say, getting onto that horror, it's like somebody actually used the term, you know, male rape with you know, John Hurt.
Well, not only that, but remember that scene, he shot it and didn't tell them what was going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So especially the. The other female member of the crew, her completely freaking out is entirely natural because they knew something was going to happen. They weren't fucking expecting that.
Yeah.
So I would
love to see the outtake of all of them after he yells cut, just screaming at Ridley Scott going,
motherfucker,
what the fuck was that, you son of a bitch?
Yeah. Well, I think it worked. So
I can only imagine them actually going into giggles after they shouted.
I
can only imagine them just laughing at each other's reactions.
Oh yeah, I have to pee my pants. Yeah, I can see that. I can see where it is sci-fi because yes, you have the suspended animation bit. You know, if here's a long trek, you put your crew members to sleep and stuff in order to, you know, reserve on
and you know I mean, space and aliens and stuff.
Is very alien creature.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better term.
I am looking forward to Prometheus. Here's the marketing thing I wanted to bring up, though. Thank you, John. John, you know, is the angel.
I like how we all paused as we read it, too. There was a little lull on the podcast, and we go, what did he write?
Yes, dear listeners, that wasn't just that we all had a brain fart all at the same time. John did put something into the chat to remind me about marketing. So here's the deal. John Carter versus Hunger Games.
Ooh.
When you think about it, all right, you saw where Hunger Games did $155 million over the weekend.
And deserved more.
And probably deserved more. But here's what I would say about the marketing. I just find it amusing that you've got John Carter, which is backed by Disney. Disney had no idea what they had.
And they've been marketing it forever.
They hadn't been marketing it worth shit. Is when you saw where somebody came up with a fan trailer that basically was a better trailer because it actually sold the film. So you had a marketing campaign that basically basically Disney was freaked because we can't show too much of people on horseback, cowboys and aliens, you know?
Right.
So they had a 200.
And they can't have Mars in there because Mars needs moms.
Well, it turned into Mars Needs Moms, but we'll get to that in a second.
I'm podcast.
$250 million
budget.
Well, Mars Needs Moms is the actual name of the film.
No. Aaron points out that Mars also needs podcasts.
A whore. I thought he was. Never mind. I'm trying so hard. So basically, a $250 million film they could not market, and it is going to be a $250 million write-off for Disney.
Yeah, they can afford it.
No,
well, they said that, week before.
Yeah, but my point being is that then you have Lionsgate, smaller studio, with a $78 million film in the form of The Hunger Games that, yes, you can say that it sold umpty trillion books, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as we've proven with the law of serenity, that if an existing fan base is all it takes to make your movie a success, then we would have Serenity 2
counter to that, though. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rox.
My take is there was a really great article in the New York Times on Sunday, and I will say Farmers Insurance. There is a guy.
Okay.
Farmers Insurance, just so you know, Farmers Insurance is like the number one insurance company for movie studios.
Okay.
And they have a guy, don't know his name, but look it up in the New York Times. He looks at the problem situations in a movie, and they will say, yes, we will insure your film, or no, we won't. I mean, this company will go to sets and say, okay, this is what you need to do. We're not doing this to shut you down. We want you to make money because we don't want to pay out. The most that they ever lost was from John Candy passing away on Wagons East. They paid out $15 million, and these guys have been doing this for years.
Right.
So they got Hunger Games.
Okay.
They went to where they were going. They went to the place, and they knew that this was a hot movie. So they actually said, okay, this is the stuff you need to do to keep your people safe. And they will not write on, they will not write a policy on what they think would be a dog film. They didn't mention John Carpenter, but they've actually had a pretty decent track record.
Did they mention John Carter though?
No.
Okay. But
that would be hilarious if it was John Carpenter of Mars.
John Carpenter, I can't breathe.
Well, sadly, it would be John Carpenter of Ghosts of Mars, right. And that would be bad. But anyway, hang on.
It's a great article about how insurance companies are – this one particular insurance company deals with movie studios and stuff. Go ahead.
No, I was just trying to finish my original thought. I'm holding on to it as much as I can. I just thought it was hilarious that Lionsgate – had this ubiquitous marketing campaign that, and I call a marketing campaign ubiquitous when I'm aware of it because I don't watch television. I don't listen to the radio. The only thing I ever see are movie trailers. But even then, I was aware that Hunger Games was freaking everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I come out of the 4 o'clock showing of Hunger Games, and they have two houses right next to each other for the 7 o'clock, whatever show. And there's people out the door waiting to get in. And it was just really amusing that a $78 million film, first of all, imagine you've got a film, John Carter made $234 million worldwide to date, I think is what I saw on Box Office Mojo. And it's a loss. Mm-hmm. So first of all, your first mistake is making a film that costs a quarter of a
billion.
I was wondering, what the hell did they, I mean.
No, they, you could, I mean, it. it was very, they had to create a world and they spent lots of money to create that world. And that was fine. They just should have created a better script. But I just thought that was hilarious that with Hunger Games, a smaller studio that was obviously hungrier, knew what they had, knew how to market it, went in and kicked everyone's ass, and John Carter is gone. It's a write-off.
And
again, it came out the same time as last year's Mars Needs Moms.
Here's,
so there you go.
Here's the thing, though. I knew about John Carter. I heard about John Carter. I had no idea about Hunger Games until my daughter and wife, they read the books, and they told me that it's coming out, and they were going to go, and then I went ahead and read the books so I could go with them. I've read the first two so far. I haven't read the third one. But so I would argue that the Hunger Games wasn't nearly promoted as much as I would have thought it was. And I go to a lot of movies. Apparently, I don't go to the right movies. Yeah. The other thing is, too, is that I must say, for Aaron's sake, the one of the best promos before Hunger Games was the Muppet Hunger Games trailer. I don't know if you saw that,
Look
too.
You, John. Which, Look you.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there was an ad for the Hunger for the Muppets DVD release. Ironically, Disney that played before the movie started, and it aped the trailer from Hunger Games.
I'm gonna follow this Hunger Games chat because I want to say something about it, but very very quickly because you brought it up. Did anyone see the really really crappy and God infuriated me Muppet Bounty ads that were released on YouTube in the last week?
No.
The Muppets YouTube channel released three 2-minute videos that were completely designed and set up to sell bounty kitchen towels. Okay, they were called Kermit's Party, and it was just a very, very thinly veiled advertisement for bounty kitchen towels. And it featured the line, "It's not easy being clean." And I swear to God, I tasted vomit in the back of my mouth. And it's gotten really, really bad negative comments on YouTube and, like, you know, dislikes and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if there is even still up now because it was absolutely horrific. But they released it not as an advertisement for TV, but on their YouTube page as a veiled advertisement. And it made me sick to my stomach. But yes, anyway, Hunger Games. I would say, Widge, that I think you're kind of missing out on the point that John Carter has got a fan base that's from 100 years ago.
That's right.
And The Hunger Games has a fan base of very, very enthusiastic teenage girls right now. And they can whip up a storm when they want to. But I heard nothing but crazy stuff about The Hunger Games online from places like Facebook and Tumblr from people who are excited to see it.
Oh, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, and the build up to it. And that was like months ago. I saw little or nothing from anybody excited to see John Carter. And I would also say the reviews, the pre-release reviews didn't help that either, because John Carter, the critics weren't saying much. But as you said, and as you said yourself, when you did your review, everyone liked The Hunger Games. So that's going to help too.
Well, so but Aaron, here's what I would say. It's not that I'm missing the point. It's that Disney missed the point. Disney spent $250 million on, as you said, a film that, while it's probably sold as many books as The Hunger Games, it's had 100 years to do that.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it's not even as ubiquitous as something like, even if you do Tarzan, right? At least everyone, even if they've never heard of Edgar Rice Burroughs, everybody knows Tarzan, because it's big enough to where you at least know that it's there. You might not be excited to go see it, but you at least know that it's there. So my point, I guess part of my point is, why would you, A, spend a $250 million on such a film to begin with, A, and then two, not market it properly?
Hey, Widge?
Oh, yeah, but I would say the marketing, I don't think, made a difference between The Hunger Games and John Carter, but I would say that definitely the spending, the budget on it was ridiculous, and that never should have happened in the first
place. Well, see, but here's what I would say, is that, like I said, there was a big hoo-ha that came out about this guy who did a fan-made trailer that suddenly everyone was like, yes, this is the trailer. Because part of the great thing about the Hunger Games was, of the actual Hunger Games that take place, how much footage is in the trailer? None.
Her running from a tree is the only thing I remember.
Yeah, that's pretty much
picking up a sack.
Yeah, the gun going off and her running. Whoa.
I didn't see that Hunger Games.
Warning.
Hunger Games. Midnight Hunger Games.
There you go, John. That's going to be the porn version. Hungry for cock games.
In fairness, I have often imagined Jennifer Lawrence grabbing my sack, so, you know.
And running.
Yes.
But with the John Carter trailer, I mean, again, the same thing, what they should have done is they should have literally done the, here's him on the world and here's him running around being in the world. And then all of a sudden, boom, and he's on Mars and here's green things and red things and cities that crawl and fuck, come see it. Here's a date. And I think that would have been much more compelling than watching the trailer and going, what the fuck is this? I mean, I'm familiar enough with John Carter to know what the story is. And even I'm going, I know less about this movie than when I did going into it.
Yeah, but ultimately,
well, that trailer just kept reeking of Return of the Jedi fight, Attack of the Clones arena fight, Gladiator arena fight. I mean, come on, it was just
What was the rating on John Carter?
Rock's actually hit it on the nose. I think that I couldn't place what it was that I'd seen all these scenes before, but she just hit it on the nose for me.
Lucas has gone on record to say that he liberally stole from John Carter. So,
that's part of the problem. In that, I mean, like for example, while I would love to see a Neuromancer film, the problem is that The Matrix and everyone and his brother Bob have lifted so much stuff from William Gibson that you would have to be very, very careful in doing a Neuromancer film, because it's like people going back and watching Hitchcock now. I mean, people will watch Psycho and go, I've seen all this before. And it's like,
The Simpsons.
No, it's like, yeah, you've seen it before. Cause it was
nice. Come on.
Fuckers.
And in fairness, Widge, is part of the problem that I have with Casablanca is that exactly that same point is that I had seen it all before. I knew about Casablanca well before I ever saw the film Casablanca. So, you know, it was kind of old hat, but you know, what's fascinating to me is, you haven't read the books, correct?
Hunger Games.
Oh, no, Casablanca. That's what I meant. No, for Hunger Games.
Sadly, there is at least one book sequel to Casablanca, but go on.
Is there really?
TV shows, too.
Wasn't that what? The Monkey? Island Monkey? No.
Tales of the Golden Monkey?
Oh, wow.
Tales of the Golden Monkey is much better.
Wow. What about the books, John?
Well, what I was going to get at was, here's what I was going, uh-oh, Widge isn't going to like this, because I didn't watch your review until after I saw the movie. But as I'm getting my popcorn, the popcorn attendant, I suppose, said, well, what movie are you going to see? I said, oh, I'm going to see Hunger Games. And he goes, oh, well, did you read the books? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, then maybe you'll understand it, because I couldn't follow it at all.
Well, then he's slow and really.
He working the popcorn stand.
He should never watch. Well, I won't say that, because that would be cruel. I would say that, like, he should probably never go see Tinker Tailor, because he'll want to blow his brains out. If he thinks that Hunger Games was the only thing where I could see, and I think Rob mentioned this as well, and it is true, is that they use a lot of visual shorthand to get across things. That they get across the meaning of it without being literal about it. Whereas a lot of films want to spoon feed you. Hunger Games does not. And I was so happy about that. I can't even tell you. In fact, that's what pushed the film over the edge for me, is that it was such shorthand and it trusted me to follow it. I like films that, while I don't think I'm particularly smart, at least the film thinks I am.
And I was worried that it would be one of those things like, I know that that kind of started to piss you off about the Harry Potter series of films, is that you just kind of, they took advantage, at least in your mind, that they're taking advantage of the fact that people have read the book. And they were just assuming that you've read the book, so we'll just forget about all these different things. And they did cut out a lot of, and you have to for,
yeah,
for it. The one thing that, that people said, oh, well, the book is so, the books are so detailed. I argue that they aren't detailed. That they, that it, when I was reading it, I was, it almost to me read like a movie script almost verbatim.
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
And so they weren't, you know, they weren't nearly as detailed. I mean, I get it because there are lots of little details that were kind of changed in the film, but none of it affected me. None of it said, oh, you know what, you know, they hit all the high points. And for someone, for, what I think is going to make this movie and this, hopefully the series, if they continue it in the same vein, a success, is that someone that has not read the books, and I would actually ask you, Widge, because I know that you, in the review that you said you would go back and read the books.
Yeah.
I would ask that you don't read the books until the series is over, because I want to see if
it that's follows, easy enough to do.
Well, here, let me ask you something that is impossible for you to do. But because I would just like to see if it follows through, that you're able to enjoy the film without having read the books, because the books have you get invested in different characters. For example, Rue, she never really explains why she's so affected by Rue's death in the film. In the book, they, of course,
might want to spoiler that somewhere.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, spoiler alert. Well yeah, it made how much money?
I was going to go see it tomorrow, John. Thanks for that.
You know that people have to die. That's nowhere. It wasn't Rob's spoiler. Dear God.
Yeah, that's true. Rob, on this show where I normally don't give a fuck about spoilers, I actually edited those spoilers. That's how bad it was.
But in the book, they explain that, you know, like she sees her sister and her and this innocent girl, and that, you know, she's tiny, she's 12 years old, and, you know, and only just now eligible for the Hunger
Games.
They didn't
have to explain that. Obvious.
Right. That she was just, she was attracted to this little girl who not attracted.
Hey.
But, you know, she felt a connection to this girl who was just small and needed defending.
It wasn't even that. It was, they set up in the film that, because she was such a, and this is not a spoilering thing, but because she was such a mothering figure, mm-hmm. is that she very quickly latched onto people who needed her. And so it wasn't even just Rue. It was to some extent, Peeta as well, and other people who just, if she thought she could help without endangering anything, she would.
And what I say is that is why I say that this film is, a success. Like, I have to say that. Here, let me go out on a limb real quick. This film is a success. No, it's because,
you know what band I think are good? The Beatles.
the reason why I say that it works is because you've not read the book, and you still got all that from the film.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what a film is supposed to do. The film is supposed to basically take a snapshot of the book, the story, the whatever, and translate it into a different medium and try to keep it as intact as possible. And that's why I said, I mean, I said in my review, the book would have to work really hard to be as good as this movie. And my fear is that based on what you've said, that it's like a screenplay, is that I won't enjoy it as much, because it is going to be less shorthand than this. You know what I mean? It will feel the need to explain things that the film doesn't.
No, the problem with the book is, And this is what I was curious to see how the film was going to handle this. The problem with the book is it's written from her perspective solely. It's first person. It's written from her perspective the entire time. And so that's why when I asked Rob, how much is President Snow in it? Because she doesn't even see him in the book.
Right.
And it makes sense. What they added was they added the things that were going on that she had no idea was going on. Right. And in fact, actually, one of the things that they, change, and this isn't really spoiling anything, is, the messages that were coming from Haymitch. She in the book infers those things. She infers what he's trying to say.
Ah, okay.
But in the movie, that would be almost virtually impossible for you to understand that. So they said, here, let's just put a little note inside the damn thing.
Right.
So,
well, and part of that, I'm sure, is Gary Ross, because, I mean, you look at, you go back and you watch a film like Pleasantville, and you can see where you get to Hunger Games from Pleasantville from a directorial standpoint, because there's a lot of really great understated stuff in Pleasantville where at no point does he have to come out and go, by the way, here's a message. Here is a message. I'm beating you with the message. He's not doing that. So I was very, very happy with the Hunger Games. I went in expecting to, have an enjoyable film, but I wasn't expecting that. So I'm very happy with it. And you're absolutely right. It deserved that huge box office take. And it's basically just elevated Lionsgate. I mean, Lionsgate, honestly, until the Hunger Games, was the studio that bought all the Artisan Library.
Didn't they produce? They produced the original Fantastic Four, didn't they?
I don't know, because that was like.
Or was it Orion?
No, that was like Ryan
or
Films.
Or Canon something. Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I mean, they're Lionsgate are the people who bought like all the C-list Marvel films, like Ant-Man. I don't know if they did Warzone, but I know they did the John Travolta Punisher.
Didn't they produce I thought they produced Silence of the Lambs.
No, that was MGM, I think.
Speaking of,
they also did a Kevin Smith movie once, right?
Yeah, probably.
Possibly.
Speaking of Silence of the Lambs, Silence McGee, I think, had something to say about Hunger Games.
Yes, he did. Actually, I thought of two things while you guys were yammering on like monkeys in a tree.
spoiler alert for Hunger Games. Oh,
wait. And there we go again.
Oh, sorry. It's old Ryan.
I think you're going to see a ton of Hunger Games costumes at Dragon Con this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's going to be the costume of the year.
It'll be all bows.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that this year. You're not going to be okay with it next year.
I'm going to dress like a female capital citizen.
Okay. I actually have a question between Hunger Games and the Avengers.
Okay. Well, before we go on to Avengers, one quick pet peeve about the Hunger Games before we leave it, because and Avengers is going to lead on to something else. Really bugs me when everybody has to mention Battle Royale in connection with the movie. Battle Royale is not the first movie of that fucking kind, and it's really not the last one either. People need to get over that fucking comparison. Running Man is the exact same shit and did it like, 10 years earlier than all of that stuff. More probably. It really bugs me when reviewers can do nothing but like, it's like when, ad guys, like, talk, it's Titanic meets, Meet the Fockers. It's the new film. I just heard it's too much to the point where people are doing it like some sort of snobby thing.
No, well, Aaron, well, let me just, as someone who made that comparison, let me just say that the difference between Battle Royale and, say, Running Man is that Battle Royale is actually widely considered to be good.
I like Running Man.
Yes. No, you can like Running Man. Don't get me wrong.
It's not good.
No, hang on. Richard Dawson in that film is one of the most genius casting of, the last century. Don't get me wrong. But, it's certainly not the book. It is a fun throwaway film, whereas Battle Royale is just heads and shoulders, a different sort of film. So I think if you were trying to aim for what is Hunger Games a lot like, well, it's a lot like Battle Royale in that Running Man is – there's a big difference between kids killing kids compared with kids killing kids. And then there's kids killing kids compared with Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting a killer hockey player. Yeah, the other comparison's a little better.
No, but like it's just everyone has been talking about it in reviews like it's like a ripoff idea.
Oh, no.
People have even gone as far as to mention, and the author claims to have never seen Battle Royale before. It's like the first, like, come on, we see similar genres, we see similar themes in movies before. Why is everyone picking on that one?
If you really want to go back, you can go back to The Most Dangerous Game, which, is one of the most famous short stories ever. And that deals with the same subject. But, I mean, I don't think everybody was saying it to be snobby. I was just saying it sort of tongue in cheek, because really, if you think about it, they are a lot alike. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and I actually have no problem with her saying, yeah, I've never seen Battle Royale. It's like when the short story that I've got in my Something Else collection, when the dead started coming back, literally like 3 years after I wrote it, I found out there was a French film that is along the same lines. I think it winds up going in a different direction. I've actually never seen it, but I forget what I was looking for. You know what? It was, well, I was looking for stuff for 28 Days of Halloween. And I was looking up zombie films.
32.
Yeah, that too. And, well, split the difference and call it 30.
It's 28 or something.
Yeah, it's 28 Days of Halloween later. I was making a musical joke earlier, and of course that neuron got mixed up. Anyway, but my point being is that I was looking up zombie films because it was a theme day and went, oh, what is this? Oh, look, a French zombie film. Oh, look, a... Hey. So no,
oh, yeah, but no, I understand. People are going to like, you know, think make. It's easy to make a comparison between the films. I'm just bugged by a lot of lazy reviewers like trying to make out that it's a ripoff of some kind.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, no, I wouldn't think it was a ripoff because while the setup's different, the actual. I mean, it's all different. It's just it's basically again, it's lazy. It's for people who don't want to delve. Who want to say that, yeah, it's a ripoff one or the other. No, I would agree with that.
Can I point out that both 21 Jump Street and Hunger Games are currently at 85% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Wow. I've heard from far too many people that 21 Jump Street is supposed to be very funny.
It is hilarious.
Well, I will say this. That trailer was shit.
Yeah.
The trailer does not do the film. Sir, back me up on this. The trailer does not do the film justice.
What the fuck is going on? What? I mean, with trailers. What the hell? I mean,
people don't.
We need those voiceover trailers back again in a world.
Where 21 Jump Street is not a television series.
Yeah. But it's like movie posters as well. It's like they're giving them to like the worst intern with Photoshop.
Oh yeah, it is.
Piss poor.
Yes, well,
the
is.
Worst part of the worst part of the movie posters are when they do all the character posters. And they do the thing about like it'll say
they did that for Dark Shadows. It's out.
Well, they'll do a poster and it'll have like some catchphrase for the character that's supposed to be shorthand for you getting to know the character. And it's just like, why don't you just do a poster and then we'll show up and get to know the character through the course of the film? Or are you basically trying to acclimate us to the characters so you won't have to do any work with the film? Right. I forget. There was one that really annoyed the fuck out of me. I actually mentioned it in A Way Homer that I was like, what the fuck is this about, folks?
And the funny thing is you get a lot of people doing it on their spare time that have come up with better.
Hey, Rox, let me pause for a second. Serve needs to talk about his 21 Jump Street review.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
She's going to get away with doing it in the chat. Okay. Everyone be quiet. Speak now.
They're like the two messers at the back of class. The two of them are.
The end.
Class.
Share with a class.
Everybody be quiet.
Serve, did you bring enough medicine for everyone?
Nope.
Wow. Yeah, get back to myself.
Medicine is expensive.
Your donk.
To get back to what Rox wanted to touch on, the Avengers has been particularly awful.
Oh, well,
the Avengers posters have been terrible.
And we'll never hear from Serve again.
No, we won't. Quiet, Serve.
Serve, go ahead. So I can talk about archery. I want to talk about archery.
What? How are we going from... Oh, so you're basically going from Hunger Games to Hawkeye and the Avengers to archery. I see what you're doing.
The Summer Olympics are this year.
Pertinent. This is pertinent because they...
They're in Ireland. Serve. I mean, England.
Serve, fucking go talk.
Serve, quit talking in the chat and talk on the podcast.
It's so much easier to talk in the chat.
Hang on. I'm going to do a dramatic reading of Serve's chat. Here is, ladies and gentlemen, a 21 Jump Street review by Serve. Read.
Not haiku.
No.
That would be awesome if it was a haiku inadvertently.
I agree with you, John. I would give it 3.5 cups. This is easier than breaking in on the cast. It's like, I don't have to talk now. This is great.
Ha ha
ha.
So, that was Aaron. So, 21 Jump Street It was pretty good, but the female lead was awful.
I didn't even know there was a female lead in 21 Jump Street.
Again, the trailer.
She was the hooker. She was the hooker trying to get back.
Eyebrows.
Eyebrows, yes. So it was the eyebrows.
Surf Wait. Says eyebrows.
Surf says eyebrows.
Oh!
Wow. I wish we could get like that like computer voice to read out Surf's descriptions.
Here's a dramatic.
I can actually arrange that. Hold on 1 second.
Good, but the female lead was awful. I know
Surf particularly loves my robo voice, so I'll do it for him. Drapes did not match the rug.
That was good.
I'm getting better.
Oh, God. Yeah, a dramatic reading of Serve's review by Stephen Hawking.
Wait. Hold on. I think I have it.
All right.
Oh, no. Keep talking. Sorry.
Jeez.
You ready, John?
Well, what I'm wondering is, who's actually designing these things? I mean, don't they get feedback on these trailers and things? And don't most people go, what the hell is this?
Well, hang on. They do get feedback. But remember, when you are trying to show this to a test audience, the test audience is your basically lowest common denominator. So if you're trying to come up with a poster or a trailer that will speak to everyone, it speaks to no one. And I mean, it's the same thing with films. I mean, you want to talk about horror stories from directors. It's when directors have test screenings and then are told to make changes based on what some, you know, crazy person in Houston thinks of the film. It's like, what?
Right.
Well, this is the thing, though. I mean, like you said, I mean, it just seems like to – I don't know. It's just – but the thing is, they aren't making trailers that appeal to everyone. They're making trailers that most people don't even know what's going on.
That's what I was talking about.
It's just like – I mean, certainly they do get – I mean, there must be some feedback where it says
– finish one sentence, Scott!
You give out to us when we're mean to Scott, but when you do it, it's fine.
Here we go. I think it's going to work.
So 21 Jump Street, it was pretty good, but the female lead was awful. Eyebrows Jason Service. Drapes didn't match the rug.
Oh, let the Jason Service in there. Sorry.
Eyebrows Jason Service.
Jason Service, drapes didn't match the rug.
There's another line.
Oh, is there another one? I'm sorry. I missed that part.
Well, Aaron, to be fair, it's literally, it was, being the English major, my brain is trying to diagram his sentence, and it's working very, very hard and needs to stop.
Well, look, Scott's on experimental medication right now. We can't be expecting an awful lot from him.
It's that suppository. It's going right to his brain.
It's not a suppository.
You know, JFK was just shot from a suppository.
What?
The school book suppository.
Okay, here we go. I got it.
More important things to put on the suppository.
Computer voice, go on.
So 21 Jump Street, it was pretty good, but the female lead was awful. Eyebrows drapes didn't match the rug. Well, that isn't fair. Her hair was blonde, but the eyebrows were black. It's not a suppository.
Exactly, Robo voice.
We have a new official member of the Justice League, I think.
Don't make it say Smithers, you're really good at turning me on.
Oh god, I want that as a ringtone.
Oh for so God's sake.
We have Cyborg now.
Can't spend the next 2 hours making a robo voice say things. I'm just saying. Oh my God. All right. So anyway, Avengers. What were we going to say about Avengers?
There's been an art. No, I'm talking about the archery part. Is apparently they hired, U.S. archer Katuna Lorig for the Hunger Games. And I took up archery in college, and she is the way she taught the main, you know, the girl in the Hunger Games. Is right on. I mean, she is really good. She's turned out to be a really good archer from what you can see. But apparently the guy that they hired, and I think it's part of the actor not going for the full training, is the guy who's training the guy for Hawkeye has been crap, because apparently on some of the stills, he's wearing two armbands, which normally you only wear one, because he's not holding the bow correctly. Go ahead.
At least it's not a purple outfit.
The armbands are kind of the costume in the comics, though.
Two of them? He wears two of them?
Look,
really?
Look, we're nerds.
But anyway, they're actually saying they've actually seen him shoot, and he's crap. And apparently he's saying, oh, yeah, I'm taking these lessons, but he's really not. He's not. He's been lazy about it.
He just may be a shit on it, though.
Hang on. So let me get this straight. So we're giving Jeremy Renner, the Oscar-nominated Jeremy Renner, crap because he's acting like an archer instead of being an archer?
Yeah.
And we mean archer as in bow and arrow, not as in the cartoon series, right?
Well, I was thinking more about the British radio series, but whatever works.
I think that we need to give Jeremy Renner a break.
Seriously, I mean, the whole point is it's acting. I mean, it's like you're gonna have some archery nerds who are gonna be like, "Well, that bow wouldn't work." Like,
one of those archery.
I know, but rocks. He's fighting next to a soldier from World War II, a giant green CG beast, and a guy who's in flying armor. And you're gonna be like, bow wouldn't work like
and
that."
And the Norse god. Don't forget the Norse god.
And who are you talking to?
I'm sort of amazed that Zeppelin Lady is suddenly calling out somebody for a bow. I think you'd be kind of fucking ecstatic if the fucking bow had pistons on it. You'd be like, fuck yeah, piston bow.
I love compound bows. They're cool.
Smithers, you are really good at turning me on.
Yay!
All right, there's the archery rant for tonight. Let's move on to Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Walking Dead.
An hour later.
So let me just say, I'm actually glad that we didn't talk about it last week because we were busy, because Aaron had a chance now to see it. And what's funny is I sent Aaron an email and Aaron responded with the name of a particular character, and it was exactly how I knew his email would start, and I could hear Aaron, I could hear you in my head saying her name. So say her name if you would, please.
Michonne!
Oh my god, wasn't that badass? That was a badass.
Here's the costume Michonne. That I want to see at Dragon Con.
Oh yeah!
That's a perfect group costume. Yes. Michonne, cloak, sword, and then you just create some sort of torso thing that enables your two buddies to be armless, and you're good.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't even be too surprised. You know those IV drip stands that have wheels?
Yeah.
If someone just like puts a body on them and wheels them around behind her, I can see that happening.
Bye, Serv.
Bye, Serv.
Thanks for your review.
Let me just put it to, because Aaron, I think you have been the most vocally critical of the series, not undeservedly so. We've all been. What?
Nothing. The
Steven, are you there?
I think John placed a beer on the speaking keyboard.
John has a new toy, and in the words of the immortal Pollen Storm, he's going to play with it till it breaks.
Bye, sir.
Jesus Christ. Now we've got a second soundboard that's going to go sentient. It's going to be bad. But so anyway, so Aaron, were you happy with the level of carnage and destruction and things happening in the finale versus what you've been concerned with for the rest of the series?
Yeah, well, I mean, the last, I would say, three episodes have been a marked improvement, and the finale was as good a quality as those other two or three episodes before it. So I think there was a big push towards the end of the season, And the finale did not disappoint in the sense that it kept up with that high quality mark that I felt that we were getting more of. Now, I have to give major props to Glenn Mazzara, who's the new showrunner since Darabont left, who really seems to be giddy as a school kid about getting the show kind of on track to the way that it is in the comic books. Because when you read the comic books, it's a fast-paced book. It really is. I mean, there's an awful lot of shit that goes on. Even though it's not all action, there's still a lot going on. Even if it's just people interacting with each other, there's still a lot there. Whereas the show had a crawling pace at the start of season two, so much so that everyone was getting pissed off with the Sophia storyline and just, you know, like all this, the moaning that was going on. It wasn't just me like being vocal about it, but I really do feel that it's picked up pace and it's kept it at a point where every episode is exciting, but every episode has highs and lows. It has, you know, human character parts along with, you know, oh shit, they're zombies. So I'm really, really pleased now, I have to say. I'm now excited about season three. Really excited.
Didn't you say you didn't think they would actually do the Michonne character?
Because judging on what we had seen in the season and a half before that Darabont was in control of, I really felt like they weren't going to get to her, or they weren't going to have a character who is so badass and so heavy in plot and stuff like that. I just didn't think they were going to bother with it. But now, like I said, the way things have picked up, I'm not surprised anymore. But I did not see her appearance in the episode coming at all.
That was as designed. Now, Aaron, what I would say, not really in defense of the series so much as in offense of most of the people who were bitching, like you were talking about, is the majority of people bitching were bitching from the standpoint of, why aren't we seeing zombies in every episode? Seemed to be their thing. If there's not enough zombies, to which my point was, it's like, well, if you go back and watch Night of the Living, and I'm going to do this, the next time I watch Night of the Living Dead, I am going to have a stopwatch with me and see how much of the running time actually has zombies in it versus people in a house talking or shouting at each other.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, my point is and I know this wasn't you, but part of what pissed me off about a lot of the people who were being critical is that they were being critical in that it wasn't, they didn't understand what the show was, in that it's a drama that just happens to have zombies in it, which is what the best zombie movies are, as opposed to a horror fest in which if you had a show that for two seasons was nothing but zombies storming the compound every episode, that's simply not sustainable and you would be sick of it.
You know, as I said, I wouldn't watch the film. I wouldn't watch the television series if it was only zombies and always zombies. I find the personal interaction, the end of the world type thing, way more interesting than seeing zombies every single episode. And, you know, as I said, I'm big puss. And
well, I think these are the people that think that, like, Hostel was too talky.
Although I must point out,
I think there's definitely a case you said that some of the comic book fans that were coming to the TV show, I mean, there is a large amount of comic book fans who were reading it for the gory stuff, and, you know, because it's like a big fucked up, you know, brutal comic book, and I'm sure they were hoping to see all that crazy fucked upness on TV on a regular, like, you know, a lot of it. So yeah, I could definitely see that there's guys who were just in it for the gore. But I also, as well, we haven't had a zombie TV show before. Yeah. So it's not as if people were coming to this knowing what to expect.
If you don't count Frasier, that's true.
but part of the thing is it is a lack of knowledge about the genre that when you think that Kirkman is doing Romero zombies, he is doing Romero's, he has said this from the get-go, is that he wanted to do a Romero movie in which there were no closing credits. It just kept going. And a Romero zombie movie, there are long stretches in which you don't see zombies. There are presence. You can feel them there. In some cases, I mean, the best example is in Dawn of the Dead, after they've cleared out the mall, and they're all standing around in the middle of the mall, listening to them tapping on the glass. And to me, that is more horrific than, oh, they're coming at us again, you know? So,
I would say that's a lot to do with the problem of the fact that most zombie movies these days are fast zombies. And I think modern audiences are more used to them and are kind of expecting the constant present danger of them rather than the, like, you know, on the outside danger of the old Romero zombies.
I blame MTV. And
it's not even fast zombies. It's just most of these rely too heavily on gore. And yeah, that's what people were expecting. When they think zombies, they're thinking like whatever direct-to-DVD bullshit that people put out. Oh, yeah, zombies. But then it's like they get this and it's actually, you know, drama and character like the originals were. And people are like, what? And then they turn on Human Centipede 2.
You made
me. And I will have to give the show credit because they really have put in some crazy scenes of gore that I would not have expected on American television.
You and me both. So
I have to, because even in the last episode, there was a scene where they were like just stomping in a zombie's brain, I think it was. Didn't we see like the skull crushing or something like that? Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, we've seen that before. I mean, the guts episode where they were smearing guts on themselves. I mean,
yeah.
They're dismembering a corpse and smearing it on themselves.
There is
a fucking hell.
Even Dale's death was particularly horrific with his like stomach being ripped open. I did not expect to see that on TV. Like I'm shocked that nobody has, there's no group that has stepped out and given out about this, because it's what I would have expected.
If you want to have,
like I said, okay, violence does not get as much. If the zombies were fucking, then you'd see the groups come out. It's not the
very
same.
True.
Thing.
If,
very true.
If you want some fun, though, go back and watch the zombie only scenes in slow mo, because some things that took me out of the last episode was when they're breaking through that gate, through the fence rather.
Yeah.
There's one lady that her was zombie that her sweater falls down to her shoulders, and she goes, "Yeah, I'm going to push the sweater right back up on my shoulders." Okay. There we go. All right, I'm going again. It's like, you're a zombie. You don't care where your sweaters are.
Well, you know, like Witch said, a lot of zombies remember like the last things they used to do, and that may have been something she used to do a lot.
Sure.
Nice that try to save, Scott. You get points.
Okay. Oh, now did everybody see the link I posted?
No.
I did see it. I have not looked at it.
It's safe.
Hold on. I'll look. Let's see.
John's going
first, John.
I do quite like the meme that's gone around going, "Where's Carl? Not in the house."
Yeah,
that's what I said last week.
It went around Facebook, and the basic cartoon that said, "Every episode of Walking Dead, someone tells Carl to be in the house. Carl is never in the fucking house."
Yeah. Or who's more useful, Laurie or a broom?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite.
Great one. The things I really liked about the episode were, first of all, I was very pleased to see that Herschel made it, because I was afraid that he was going to be my third. I was wrong, by the way. I guessed three bodies. There were two. I am glad that Herschel is still there. And I think that what we were talking about before, about Herschel basically filling Dale's role as the conscience of the group, perhaps a more practical conscience, since they had written Dale to be a complete goofwad towards the end, we'll be there. I was very struck, and I mentioned this in an email to Aaron, about the RV burning, because the RV was there through the end of the RV was in the comic for forever. Yeah. So seeing it go up like that, what struck me almost as much as Dale, because it was so prevalent in the comic. So that was
almost your third character, which
it really is. That's a good point. That is a good point. I appreciated that. I loved the Michonne introduction, especially since I almost sat up off the couch and went, "Fuck!" Because I knew something was going to happen, but I wasn't expecting that. And even though Aaron, we may not have mentioned this, but Kirkman has been saying for a while that he wanted to bring her into the series as soon as possible, because she is such a fan favorite. Just like he's been trying to figure out a way to get Daryl into the comic, because he's such a fan favorite.
Apparently, Tyrese is also supposed to be coming in.
Which would be great.
Yeah. But I thought they were going to fill T-Dog into that role.
You're a little echoey there. Well,
yeah.
I don't hear any echo.
Yeah, we're echoing.
Sure. I don't hear any.
Hello, Houston!
It. Is it gone now?
No, it's still there.
Well, yep. While we're waiting, the robot would like to read what Scott sent.
Oh, Carl, my God, that was terrifying. So
hello.
Carl, stay in the house. Seriously, Carl. Stay in the house. Carl, I don't want to yell, but it's the middle of the zombie apocalypse, and we're going to need you to stay close by. Okay, buddy. Can you be a good little sheriff and stay put? I don't know. Guard the living room. Yes. Okay, here's a S. Carl, stay.
And that's all he has to say.
Okay.
Are we not echoing anymore?
We're still echoing.
I don't know what to tell you.
We're at a drive-in theater.
Do we have to stop and start again?
So that Scott doesn't laugh again, because that was the creepiest shit ever.
Well, you do know, Widge.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
We could do that and come back, but we need to do them quickly because this is making me crazy.
Crazy!
I hate
crazy
listening to myself the first time. Much to hear myself for first time.
Do I echo?
Only we do, which is very strange.
Do I echo?
Oh.
No, you don't.
Do I echo?
I get the joke you're doing, but stop it.
Oh, wait. See, John was trying to be funny. I'm sorry.
Just reset the fucking phone call already. Seriously.
All right, so we'll do introductions, then we'll do them right after we come back, starting now. All right, now what?
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
How's that sound?
That's much better.
Seeing at the movie theater.
Oh, God. All right.
Oh,
so,
my penis hurts.
And on that note, everyone, welcome to another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast where we make penises hurt. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and we are gathered together coming back from a crazy, echoey chamber of doom. And I will introduce the Hall of Weekend Justice, Weekend Justice Leaguer people. Going from my right to your left, you have Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
T-Dog is my homeboy.
That needs to be a t-shirt.
Yes.
We also have Scott C. Hi, Scott.
Zooby, zooby, zoo.
Oh.
Damn it, Scott.
A madman call.
Let me just say, thank fuck that wasn't echoed. We also have Rox at Spaz House. Hi, Rox.
Actually, Scott, it's zooby, zooby, zoo. There's no Z.
What, the honeycomb?
She kind of sings it like a Z, though.
I know she does. Yeah, she did it wrong.
I think she's kind of trying to do it in a French, sexy French accent, though, which is probably why.
Is this a Mad Men thing?
Yes.
Mad Men thing. Okay, that's fine.
I've never seen an episode, but I've seen that clip.
Oh, my God. I think it's on YouTube everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we also have John Fininiki. Hi, John.
Class.
Well, Was that you or was that the robot?
Yes.
Okay, good. So anyway, going back to Walking Dead, the other thing that I really liked was I liked that Rick just, because I don't remember in the comic, we don't get a lot of Rick just sort of bubbling over.
No.
That's not a sexual reference. He either just flips right the fuck out to where everyone's like, whoa, or he just represses it. So to have him basically come out and go, all right, fuckers, this is no longer a democracy. I'm running this show, and if you don't like it, fuck off.
Right.
I thought that was one of his flip outs.
No, that was scary. Well, no, it was scary, but it wasn't as scary as in the comic where he basically where Dale and remember in the prison, well, spoilers for the comic, but Dale and everyone in the prison basically went, yeah, you kind of like freaked everyone the fuck out and we have basically ousted you from power.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think this might be a
precursor to it, though, you know?
Actually, I always found it creepier when he would do it quietly in the comic, like going up to Lori and saying, I'm a good guy, right? Right? I mean, you can just see.
Well,
to me, that's just as scarier because he knows he's going over.
Well, but what I think is different from the comic and why I actually like and can sort of relate to this Rick a lot more is that he has something that's different from the comic in that as he started off saying, I killed my best friend for you people.
Yeah.
And it's just like he is literally to the point of just like it's less a flip out because with a flip out, he flips out. But here he actually has a point. Yeah. It's like, If you think you can do better on your own, I'll let you go. Go. Send me a postcard from wherever it is you end up. Have a nice time. Which I thought, honestly, in a zombie apocalypse with everything that has happened, that is probably the most sane reaction that you can have is to go, all right, well, fuck me. No, fuck you. And I actually thought, wow, that's actually refreshing because I don't recall him doing that in the comic. Of literally just going, I'm going to be in charge. Basically, this is him going, all right, if I'm in charge, like I have seemed to be put in charge, which I never asked for, then here's how it's going to work. As opposed to in the comic where he never really, he's in that role, but he never really addresses the role except to flip the fuck out. And this to me was less of a flip compared to comic flip outs. This was nothing.
Yeah.
So I really liked that.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting that you see a difference in it. Cause to me, it felt exactly like something he would like that comic Rick would do. So I guess that's how I always read the character as being more of a kind of a bubbling over sort of guy. So maybe I always saw comic Rick is crazier than probably you've read him, which goes to show just how good the comic is written. But well, you can interpret it different ways, you know.
Yeah. Well, Rox, one second. Let me respond to that and I'll let you go. But my thing about the comic Rick is that comic Rick represses it and won't say anything until finally he completely flips out. Whereas this Rick. Does a mini flip out, and basically this is him pressure releasing. And I don't recall that happening in the comic because he is, like Rox was saying, he is more or less going to Lori and going, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck. Whereas in the TV show, he's basically just as I think Aaron, the term you said, giving out, I think is the term.
Yes.
Giving out to everyone and basically just going, you know, fuck all of you. And I'm just like, for all of his faults and for all that Rick does wrong, to me, the TV Rick is more of a, cause in the comic, it's to the point where it's almost like you almost don't even feel sorry for Rick because he has made so many bad decisions that it's to the point of just really, really, have you not figured it out yet? Now, what's interesting is one last thing. I promise I will let you talk, Rox. I just because you know how my brain is, but I did not know this until just like this past week because I had not thought about it. But Kirkman has said that the world of The Walking Dead, George Romero never made zombie films in the world of The Walking Dead, and zombies never hit pop culture in the world of The Walking Dead. So to some extent, we are, all of us, with our knowledge, looking in on them and going, well, of course, what the fuck? Whereas they have no fucking clue.
No.
So anyway, I'm sorry, Rox, go, please.
Oh, I was just, you know, during that flip out scene, okay, you have everyone going, oh crap, we're all infected. So I wonder on how many we'll see as a suicide, you know, type of pact going on in the next season.
Well, that.
Or you'll find the nut job that says, oh yeah, I can cure you all, you know.
Well,
so.
Now Rox, have you read the comic?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because both of those things do happen, you know.
Oh, I know. I do know. Yes. Yes.
So I also was kind of pleased that you went from Michonne to the flip out to basically pan up and there's to what a lot of people who haven't read the comic are going, what the fuck is that? And all of us are going, it's a fucking prison.
Yeah. There was definitely an air in this episode of, oh, it's on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was an awful lot of that. And that's why I really do feel like it's a big influence from the new showrunner, because I really feel like he's like, let's get this shit on the road. You know what I mean?
And Aaron, here's my question, because I know that when we were talking, because I don't know how long it takes to change, you know, how much stuff they had going on with Darabont that was already set before he left. But I remember that, you know, Rob and Tuffley and folks were talking about how the first Matt Smith adventures were originally designed for Tennant. And so it was only later that they were actually writing for him. So I wonder if maybe towards, you know, maybe the first part of the series was essentially still Darabont that they already had set. And as a result, they had to pull out of it and get back on what they felt like they wanted to do. And based on what I've heard of what Darabont's plans, like I mentioned before, about him wanting to take the first episode of season two and do a flashback to the Atlanta outbreak, which would have made no sense from a narrative point of view. But I will say, to give credit where credit is due, without Darabont's name on this thing, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, definitely. And I think it's if he had more of a role in the sense that, I guess, like J.J. Abrams had with Lost, and that he directed the pilot episode, he had his name plastered on it, but he didn't really work on the show after that. I think he probably would have been a better influence in that sense. He seemed to have been very hands-on, and I think almost that was the reason why they had to fire him in the end, because he was slowing down production. I would have been shocked if they started filming season two without having the first half of season two written. Because I would be absolutely amazed if they had started that without those first six episodes written. So, and I know he wasn't fired until, you know, production on, I think the second episode had already begun. So, I would say that there were still lingering effects of his influence, but there was a great interview with Mazar that I read recently where they were asking him about like key plans for the show. And he was like, I want to bring Tyrese in, you know, I want to bring all these characters in. I want to do all the stuff from the prison. Like, he was very much like, I want to hit all the cool stuff from the comics. Now, obviously, like you were saying before, with Daryl in the mix, there's no way it can happen exactly the same. Because with the group that they have, it's too different a dynamic for it to happen the exact same way in the comic book. So I don't feel like the new guy is going to make it, you know, word for word, a comic translation. But I definitely think he wants to get to all the cool fan stuff that people want to see. He may have them play out differently, but at least we'll get those scenarios.
Well,
so,
I just hope they stay with the different scenarios where you're giving us a little bit of both, in that, like I said, I have loved the fact that I can watch this show and not know what the fuck is coming next. Because for me, it's like reading the comics again, you know? It literally is like just reading an alternate universe version of the comics. But like you said,
you popped for seeing Michonne. So there are certain things you still want to see at the same time.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's certain things I want to see, but I am fine with them running down rabbit trails and seeing where they go. Like the episode that Kirkman actually wrote from the first season, where they go into the old folks' home, that basically the gang has taken over to go, well, somebody's got to help them. You know, and it's just like, and you think about that and you go, well, yeah. You know, it's just, you go, well, this makes complete and total sense. And there's certain things that, because, I mean, like we were talking before about Hunger Games, where when you translate this into a different medium, then things are going to be different, and you just accept that. For example, you're not going to have, I mean, apart from the fact that Kirkman, we said this before, Kirkman regretted doing it, is we're not going to have Rick lose his hand. Because for a TV show to have to make that happen on a makeup / CG / whatever level, and from a character level, ain't going to happen. So that is simply not going to happen.
And I think because Kirkman does have a lot of influence over the scripts and storylines, I think he will be very much doing things that will interest him. Like you said, he regretted doing the hand thing, so he'll change that because. So it's almost like he's getting a second go at the story.
Oh yeah.
So I'm sure we will see quite a few different things, just because he'll be fascinated about how to play it out differently. So I think that's a lot of fun too.
So it's like if George Lucas, what he did, but right.
But yeah, with talent.
Right.
Hi, Rob.
Yapple dapple.
Oh my God!
So no one saw the chick from Emmerdale coming, right?
What now?
No one saw the chick from Emmerdale coming, right?
No, we didn't see that coming at all.
For anybody not knowing what the fuck I'm talking about, the new companion for Doctor Who was from a soap opera called Emmerdale in England.
Yep.
Yes.
Nobody cares, Aaron.
Hey.
Except did we lose Widge?
No, I'm here.
Okay, just checking.
I'm just listening. No, we went off on that. And my only thing is that, I mean, you don't get the new companion until the end of the fucking year. So it's just like, at this point, everyone's, they're doing the whole thing of, oh my God, how are we going to get rid of the old companions type of thing? Oh, shut up, Rob.
I was glad to see the preview. Did you guys see the preview? Did you?
Yes.
I was glad to see that they were, that Rory and Amy wear actual integral parts to it, because I was worried that they might just like pop up in like, you know, half an episode or so, but they're still current companions. It's not like they're gone yet.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Who saw the trailer? That was fun.
I did.
Did anyone else think the cowboy was crying?
Talking about details of the trailer. We need to invoke, which is spoiler rule.
Well, now
says the man from Hunger Games.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Message Redacted.
I'm not ruining Hunger Games for anybody. I mean, that's irrelevant.
Well, Rob, the only thing, we talked about this before, is that it is fine to extrapolate theories based on the trailer. Like, for example, I know that Moffat has said that something happens in regards to an exchange with the Weeping Angels. And I mentioned that it looks like, to me anyway, that they have, that there's a snippet of them back at that huge rock in which the River Song and the Marines went in to this crashed spaceship where the angels were. It looks like the same place. So,
well, they haven't filmed any of the Weeping Angel episode yet.
Right.
That stuff's going to be in episode one.
The Weeping Angels?
No, the preview stuff, right?
From the trailer. From the trailer. Yeah. That thing where they're walking into a cave, that's from episode one.
Okay. So Rob has just basically blown my extrapolation out of the water.
Pretty much.
No, I think you're...
There goes 10 minutes of discussion.
I think it's right. I just think that they haven't gotten to that part yet. So.
Oh, I see.
Everyone's stroking their beards quietly now.
Yeah.
The Sorry. Artist is going to get shafted.
But we were talking about that. Walking Dead. Did you see it, Rob?
Did I? I'm really... Hold on.
I read the book. I read the book, so it doesn't matter.
No, you just you sort of half ruined it for me. That's all.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You
can't have any nice.
You didn't even. You didn't even realize what you were doing, which was so funny.
I did right after I said it. Then I'm like, oh shit. Yeah,
let me ask you something, Widge. Going back to that real quick.
Yeah.
How can I say this without spoiling anything? How much should you believe that something could... Well, no, never mind, because Rob had already spoiled it for you. Never mind.
Tolstoy dies.
How could I... Did I really think that it was going to end any other way than it sort of half did?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
No, I thought that it was possible, because certain books make a point of having it, shall we say, not end that way.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was a possibility. It was a slim possibility, but I had no idea. So
sorry.
That's okay. You didn't give away what actually happened. You gave away about half of what happened. So
yeah, I still feel like a jerk though.
That's okay. That's all right.
Well, you're a jerk for completely different reasons.
No prison for you then.
Oh.
No prison for him? Whoa. No.
That's next season.
Yeah. That's next season on Weekend Justice.
Were you watching Walking Dead this season, Rob?
Yes.
What did you think of the finale?
I thought it was actually really good. Now, I haven't read the comics.
So, okay.
I knew that Shane was going to die because Witch had said in the one of the things, Shane dies in the comics, so we know he's going to die in the series at some point. So at that point, I figured, okay, they're ramping up towards that. But it didn't really ruin the effect for me or anything. So.
But you have no idea who the lady with the two zombies attached to her are, though.
No.
No. So, were you just like, what the fuck?
I was just like, what the fuck? But you have to also understand, you know, I go to Dragon Con. I've seen that shit every day. So I just heard it was rocks, you know. So, and I mean that in the nicest way possible.
That's good.
No, I really did. I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? But I liked the fact that I didn't know what the fuck was it, because this season had fewer what the fuck was it moments than season one.
Right. But yeah, I know what you mean.
But I thought that the extra actors they brought in this year outside of the main core group were all really, really outstanding.
I really liked the guy who played Herschel. I thought he was really good.
He was great. And then the kid they brought in at the end was good. I mean, all the little backup parts. David for Advance was great. I mean.
And you know, the thing I really liked about the last couple of episodes, T-Dog had a couple of lines to say.
T-Dog had shit to do the last episode, which was nice.
Yeah, and I really feel like he's been a missed opportunity so far, because his name's T-Dog, so he's supposed to be some sort of like gangster guy. And, you know, so he could have been a badass just like Daryl. He could have been a tough son of a bitch. Like,
didn't you see somebody was writing up about him in all of the off comments? Like, his name is actually Theodore. but Dale forced.
But there was a
T-Dog name on him.
I really think they're missing the beat too, because there was a bit where in the episode that Shane dies, where he lets the kid out of the barn, and T-Dog goes in to look for him, and he sees he's missing, and he just goes, "Oh hell no!" And I just thought that would be a fantastic catchphrase if he could say that every time zombies show up.
Weepy from the Jeffersons, you know.
Oh god!
I just think it would be awesome.
Oh man!
But anyway, I thought it was funny as well. It's like, I got my two white women. I'm going to the beach like I should have done 2 weeks ago. Fuck all these guys. I'm not going back. Like, it would have been. It was just nice to see him with a bit of personality as well.
Well, I've thought about doing a post on what Walking Dead season 2 has taught you, and the number one thing, kids, is have a rendezvous point.
Yep.
Seriously,
yeah.
One.
We need to have one of those for Dragon Con.
Stay in the house.
Can I point this out? We've taught our kids to have a rendezvous point in the event that something happens in the house, or in the event that something happens anywhere.
Oh yeah.
Why have these adults not done that?
What's interesting is that the rendezvous point for the Boutel household is in Quebec.
It's actually in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's at the prison.
John's got like two liquor stores down the street from him.
Wait, seven. I think it was seven.
Yes, I was going to say it's more than two.
And he's got.
I personally
he's got
keep
an account at all of them.
I personally keep them all in business.
Hi, Mr. Bertel. Same.
You want your usual? Bring up the truck.
Now, is anyone else super excited like me that
Eddie's order?
What did Scott say?
I think he said something about drinking porter.
He was going Subi Zubi Zoo.
But I was just gonna say, is anyone super excited that Pirates is being released tomorrow? Pirates and the Adventure with Scientists, the Aardman film.
Well, it's called Adventure of the Pirates.
Really?
It's over there. Here, it's just called Pirate Something Else.
Yes.
Wait, oh, is it? Like, okay.
Yes.
Wait, what is it called over there?
Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists. Yeah, but like in an Adventure with Scientists is like the after bit.
That's awesome.
David Tennant is the voice of Darwin.
Oh, is he? I knew he was in it, but I didn't know who he was voicing.
Yeah. Now, apparently the American version is substantially shorter than the British one.
Oh, really?
Damn it.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, well, my God.
Science hurts most people's brains.
Well, I mean, it's called Pirates and the Scientists. Well, it's got the word scientist in it. No one in this country will want to see it. Two, yeah. It's got Darwin in it. You might as well have Hitler in it. So.
Yeah. Well, hang on.
They cut out the other references to evolution.
Well, this is interesting because I did not realize this. This is based on a series of books, and the first book is called The Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists. But yes, here it's called The Pirates Band of Misfits.
Right.
And
yeah.
That is so – that's like – what was it? The – shit. Because here the film was called Pirate Radio, right? And over there it was called what?
The Boat That Rocks.
Yeah, which is a much better title. And in fact, makes
I thought it was lame.
Yeah, you thought it was lame?
I did. I thought that was a lame title.
Well, let me put it this way. I would much prefer that than the decision-making that went into Pirate Radio, which I promise you was like, well, Pirates of the Caribbean made money. I promise you that's why.
But wasn't it a pirate radio station, though?
No, it was. But it's just, for some reason, The Boat That Rocks sounds cooler to me.
Look, Aaron, stop using logic.
No. Yeah. I mean,
I think that was just from a life being brought up with Kiss. And they're associated titles. It does sound like a Kiss title.
What, boats?
No, boats. The Boat That Rocked.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that was their maritime album?
It would be actually The Wet Boat That Rocked, I think, if it was a Kiss album.
Yeah. Something about raising the sails and, you know.
Yeah.
The thing is, they missed a perfectly good marketing. Again,
slide marketing. Down my mizzen mast.
Be in the aft, something like that.
I want to cut through your rough waves, baby.
Actually, you know what? I think all the lyrics we just did were better than anything that the that
down in the hold.
I know what I was saying. You could have had a great marketing opportunity. They gave it like the original title and had Darwin. You know, like they'd have like somebody like Santorum denounce it, and they have all that pre-publicity. They should go for it.
Pre-publicity. You know, all the ladies don't like that.
Yeah.
Pre-publicity will get you pregnant.
Yes,
that's true.
Hey, Aaron?
Yes. We do have our first guest.
His name is Bob. No. Yeah, he means at his house.
Don't get excited yet, because it's not a WHO guest. But we got Patricia Quinn coming back.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who that is.
Columbia from Rocky Horror.
So don't get excited then.
Oh, okay. I saw Rocky Horror for the first time 2 years ago.
And some of my best panels were with her. Rox, did you go to any of those panels?
Yes, I did. Yes.
I played Rocky.
Yeah, I actually talked to her about Iron Jawed Angels or whatever that was when she was in that one Masterpiece Theater about the suffragettes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But she's awesome. So we have one guest.
That's good. Oh, speaking of seeing things they should have saw a long time ago, I was talking to like our apprentice, Isaac.
My penis?
And I learned that our young correspondent, and I learned he has not seen The Prisoner.
That's okay. I haven't seen The Prisoner.
Jesus fucking Christ. What?
But he's been thinking about the big giant blob that runs after them, but you know.
But he's been a prisoner.
Well, now, Rob, I was just looking up.
Of love.
Patricia Quinn actually is a WHO guest because she's been in WHO twice.
She was in Dragonfire, yeah. But
she also came back for audio play.
Yeah,
that hardly counts too.
Well, we've had people with
they're bringing her for Rocky Horror more than
I understand. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but she's hilarious. She tells great stories.
The pause that refreshes every 15 minutes, and we can just.
Sorry, I was googling images of Patricia Quinn. Sorry, I apologize.
Well, she is a former Playboy bunny, Aaron. So there you go.
Why do you think I went quiet?
Exactly.
I explained
up and away.
In my beautiful, balloon.
She was Rox's cool British aunt.
Always wear a balloon, kids.
I wish.
What?
You guys could go fight crime.
Ooh. I know.
You know, orgasms are a little
bad. I'm excited because, personally, my best panels at Dragon Con were the three panels I did with her. So.
Well, there you
and
go.
Unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
No, it's not. Knock it off.
Yeah, she's an older lady now. It would be weird.
But not too weird.
But you wouldn't turn it down.
Hey, it didn't stop.
I'm not saying that's it. No.
So you haven't seen The Prisoner either?
No, I have not. I've seen a lot of parodies of The Prisoner. That counts.
Oh, man.
I know.
And
what is the younger generation coming to?
Well, I got to say, in fairness, my parents were not big film people. I mean, unless you can count the films of as Steven Seagal as, you know.
Jesus.
And Aaron, to also be fair, as one of the parodies of The Prisoner, you also count Scott's Dragon Con costume.
Fuck you.
Most hitterball one, but with tighter pants.
Go to hell. Shut up.
You're laughing too. Cause
no, I'm not. I regret nothing.
He said laughing.
He loves that coat. It turns into a steampunk outfit really quickly.
Yes.
All he has to do is...
steam? Is that because he doesn't bathe or what?
Hey, no, I am not one of those people. Fuck all of y'all. I am not one of those con attendants. No. Yes.
No. You know, in the game room, you mean?
Yes. No. Yes. Stop that. Yes. Quit it. Yes.
Oh, God.
I could use some
I happen to like Scott's coat. I think it's very dapper.
I do, too. I want one.
And to be fair, Scott was doing the Prisoner costume at least 10 years before all these other kids started showing up in it.
That's right. Scott, yeah.
But you don't mean wearing it.
Please stop.
So Rob, just out of curiosity, didn't you say you had seen a film today?
I've seen a lot actually in the last 2 days since I got back. But yeah, I saw two today. So.
So what'd you see?
But I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm just going to tell you that I saw two.
No,
never
no,
say
no, no, just spoil it.
In a way, it's embarrassing because I saw Mirror Mirror, which was fucking putrid. And
really?
Now, this is the one with Julia Roberts?
He asks, not surprised at all.
Now,
okay.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Is it bad that I want to see Snow White and the Huntsman, though?
Rock will be with me on this, because she may be the only other person who cares. But I think that the TV show that was on years ago called The Charmings...
Oh, right,
The short,
not to be confused with Charmed.
Whoa.
The short-lived show that was only on for, four episodes or something? If that?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. It's just, Now that the other Snow White movie's coming out, and it looks like it's much more badass, so you kind of know right off. That's part of it. You're watching, you're like, oh, the other movie's going to be so much better while you're watching it.
Right. As I asked a second ago, is it wrong that I actually want to see Snow White and the Huntsman?
Well, John,
you mean Snow White and Thor?
To be fair, Mirror Mirror is a movie you take your kids to.
It is. It's a kid's film.
Yeah.
Well, but John,
if you hate them, you do.
John, to be perfectly honest, if you had told me a year ago that I would be more excited about seeing a Snow White film with Kristen Stewart in it than I would a Snow White film directed by Tarsem, I would have thought you were on crack. But sadly, that is now the case. Well, it doesn't even look pretty. I mean, it looks the thing about Tarsem working with Iko before was that it was extremely stylized, but it made sense. But this is so goofy. It's just good. You know what it is? It's like Iko's Spider-Man costumes, right?
Yes.
If you look at the Green Goblin from the Broadway musical, it's like, what the fuck is that about? You look like you're covered in either you're the green sea anemone, not a goblin, or you've been attacked by some kind. Your whole thing is that you're not covered in armor. You're covered in silly string. I mean, it's just like, what the fuck?
Well,
Lars
von Trier is going to do Hansel and Gretel in 2015.
Oh, for God's sake.
What made me actually more scared than Mirror Mirror was that I finally saw the Dark Shadows trailer.
Jesus. I'm writing that easement as we speak.
So here's can I just say what Server and I said? Can I say what Server and I said after we saw that in front of 21 Jump Street?
What?
We actually thought we'd want to see that film. But then again, we never watched Dark Shadows.
I never watched Dark Shadows either.
I thought it looked humorous.
I think Johnny Depp himself will be good in it, but I just think the concept of taking it out of the context of where it was and playing it for laughs instead of playing it a little more serious, you know?
I mean, if you just read the cast list, you'd be excited to see it.
I mean, the thing is, like, the part of the trailer where they're watching the Carpenters on TV, that's funny, right?
Yeah.
He goes, tiny sources, but I know that's going to be the funniest gag in the movie, and I've seen it in the trailer.
But the thing is, I probably wouldn't, I mean, just because it's a Tim Burton film. How would Tim Burton cast Dark Shadows, by the way?
We just found out.
I mean, I probably won't won't go out of my way to see it, but at some point I will watch it. To me, it looked amusing. I probably won't see it in the theater, but to me it did look amusing. But again, I have not watched the television series. I don't have that affinity towards it.
Yeah, I haven't
either,
really.
Well, the thing is...
No normal person has.
The thing is there...
Excuse me?
I'm just saying whatever you're thinking.
Okay, one...
You're making his point. You're making his point.
You're insulting rocks. You're taking your life into your hands.
Scott.
You're making his point.
Rocks would never refer to herself as normal, sir. You take that back.
Okay, I'm just saying, we are none of us examples of normalcy. Okay.
Oh shit.
The thing is here's the thing. Tim Burton came out and said that he kind of watched it.
I hate this film. Oh wait, he didn't.
No. He actually wanted to make it funny. That he just took pretty much. He just took liberty with the name and the characters and stuff.
Like he's done with other remakes.
I mean, if anything, you know, he did say that, you know, the real fan and there must be some madness to the rest of the film. Because
I'm really looking forward
Johnny
to
Depp
what
is
Johnny
a fan.
The real fans look like.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny They're Depp scary. Is really, really the hard, you know, out of that group, Johnny Depp is the hardcore Dark Shadow fan. I mean, he was one of those people that wrote letters into ABC to say, hey, could you change the time to 4 o'clock instead of 3? Because they would miss. I still think the makeup's horrible, but.
Why didn't he just use a DVR?
Yeah, didn't like the sets and I didn't like the makeup.
These are questions my kids are going to be asking.
I know.
Anyway. Tell them that there was a time before DVR.
And VCR, for that matter.
If that movie brings the Carpenters back, I'll be really pissed off.
Oh my gosh, she'll be in The Walking Dead.
She is
Jack
The Walking
Carpenter,
Dead.
That would be awesome.
And it would be terrible because she's like a really skinny target.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh my god, she could fight Lori. Stick against stick.
The best.
Lee would make a great Karen Carpenter for a contest.
Wow.
If we put a wig on her.
The best part is that she doesn't need makeup. To be a zombie.
You know who's in Dark Shadows who I think could actually be a real life vampire?
Who?
That chick from the Gilmore Girls. She has not aged a fucking day, and she's like 40 now.
What? Who? Who? Yeah. What?
The mom or the daughter?
The chick who's on Parenthood?
The daughter.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think the daughter's 40.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's not.
She's well in. Let me look up her age because she's in her 30s. Definitely.
Which to Aaron.
Makes her old. Fuck you, Aaron.
No, but she still looks like a teenager. She looks like the same person that was in the Gilmore Girls.
I can't believe she's 23. How old
is
that woman?
It's time for Carousel for her.
No, it's time to Carousel for one particular Irishman. I can say that.
Oh, God.
We're so
fun. The other year I saw was Wrath of the Titans.
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
So Wrath... So how was it? What was the summary?
Here's I haven't got to it yet. Here's the great thing about Wrath of the Titans. You could tell when you watch Liam Neeson doing scenes with Ralph Fiennes that they are probably off camera having time, right? And when those two do scenes together, it's great. Whenever they put a stupid kid in one of these movies, it fucks it all up, right?
Damn kids. Screw everything up.
You know the script. You'll be pretty much going in. You know the script's going to be shit. So I going in, one, I'm not counting on the story being great. I'm not counting on the script being great. But if you just want to go to a movie for 90 minutes and get completely lost, it is to Greek mythology what Transformers is to action movies. It's basically the same thing. I just want to go and watch them beat the shit out of watch all this Greek mythology shit beat the shit out of each other, right? Having said that, and Din Djarin is not here to speak up on this.
Unfortunately, Transformers didn't deliver on that either, but anyway, go on.
Sorry. Yeah, really.
No, but I mean, you could at least, if you watched the Transformers, like, okay, you at least had 20 minutes of Transformers beating the crap out of each other. And
in a three-hour fucking movie.
Yeah, but you had to watch, how much was Shia LaBeouf? Even as much as I like the guy, seriously, he's not being given anything.
We did not come for you. We came for the robots, really, not you.
I really, really hate, though, is that when they do these movies that are steeped in mythology or somehow set in an ancient place, they just throw any sense of, like, ancient history out of the window. It's like nobody will care if we have Roman soldiers in ancient Greece and Greek soldiers dressed up like ancient Romans, and oh yeah, we have catapults and it's ancient Greece. No one will care.
Or the cast of Greece dressed up as Roman soldiers.
Yes.
You're the one that I want.
Beauty school dropout.
Although I have to say, Rosamund Pike, I had no idea she was all that. But anyway, so that kind of bugs me because you're watching it, and there's one scene you can see what sort of is a watch on a guy.
What?
There's a scene where you could see a guy wearing a wristwatch.
Wasn't Gladiator really bad for that? There's like three watches in that movie.
Guys, you know, I can almost hear Din Djarin sharpening the knives.
But I will say this.
She does that every Tuesday night.
The 20 minutes.
That's why she can't be here.
Bill Nighy is in the movie.
She has so many knives to sharpen.
Well, of course he does. He's Bill Nighy.
He's a science guy.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
But then you watch this and you're like, wow, I totally know that Bill Nighy went out drinking with Liam Neeson and Ralph Fiennes, and I would love to have been there for that.
Why isn't that a reality TV series? I'm just asking.
No, and you know, the problem is, there's a part of the movie where I was like, you know, I just almost wish that one of the kids of the gods would just show up to the battle saying, like Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter, I'm sorry, Zeus, I can't fight. I got a note. And that would actually be funnier than any of the stuff in the movie. You
That's
know?
Probably going to be in the Percy Jackson sequel.
So on a scale of 1 to 63, what would you give it?
On a scale of what?
1 to 63.
On a scale of 1 to 5, I'd probably give it a 3.
But I said 1 to 63.
John, I believe only one podcast around here can have funny rating systems. Your quota's filled up. I'm sorry.
Okay, what's the other one?
Oh, you
did specify funny, right?
If you need to, call 888-665-8825.
John, I would say on a scale of 1 to 63, I'd probably give it about a 31.
Okay, thanks.
You know, it's not the best film you're going to see, but it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was a stupid hour and a half of escapism, plain and simple. But the effects are really good, you know. It's one of those sequels they didn't need to make, but they at least made a half-hearted attempt to make it entertaining.
Well, here's my question. Who is being mauled by a dog? Because I hear a dog.
I'm actually out on my porch, and it's nice out, and the neighbors they've got a new dog, and they brought it out, and it hasn't learned how to shut up yet. So
I want to know when they're going to make the porno podcast horse.
I don't know. Now, the other thing that was cool is I finally saw the Hobbit trailer.
And who would actually buy that?
Oh, yeah?
Which I didn't see. I wanted to see it on screen. That looks really good. So
I like and then, that. They have sexy.
The other thing.
Wait, what?
What?
Hold on a second. Say that again?
Stop the podcast
on guest.
You know, orgasm. Thorin is actually kind of a hot guy.
Is he one of the dwarfs?
Yeah. I really don't need 27 inches.
Actually, do we see dwarf sex? Do we see dwarf tossing?
I'm sorry, Eric, did you say tossing off a dwarf? What?
Yeah, there you
Maybe.
Go. Just don't get the squirty kind.
Don't get Scott aroused.
Up and away!
Toss the pickaxe.
I'm just thinking, they don't need to kneel down, do they?
Surprisingly hard, actually.
So true.
On each other, they have to kneel down, Scott, though, in fairness.
Oh, God.
Just not us. Can he take that question? He'll knee in the ball. And then, which the other thing I saw this week, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, was Casa de mi Padre, the Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, really? Was that good?
Well, you have to stay for the end credits, because after the credits is...
is where they put all the comedy.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. But no, the thing is, I love all these old... I mean, it's a spoof of those old, like, Mexican grindcore films of the 70s.
Right.
It's a total play on that. And if you've seen those movies, then you appreciate what they're going for, and the fact that they don't let up on the Spanish. The whole thing is in Spanish with subtitles. It's, I mean, they played it completely straight over the entire movie. And it's actually really surprisingly much more funnier than you thought it was going to be.
Is it actually, you know? Is it actually in Spanish? I mean, if you knew Spanish, would
yes,
you?
Yes, it's in Spanish.
Will Ferrell is doing Spanish.
Yep. Will Ferrell knows Spanish. Like, when Will Ferrell goes to translate his movies into Spanish, he does all his own translation. Yeah, I know.
Will Ferrell knows Spanish.
Well, that's like, what was it? The weird languages that you didn't know people knew was the Jonathan Elias Prayer Circle album that came out years ago that Alanis Morissette was on. Alanis Morissette, if I remember this correctly, she sang in Hungarian and did the translation herself. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Hungarian?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And by the way, that's a great album, but he did a sequel last year. I did not know this.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Spotify. So.
Oh.
Of course it is.
Of course it
is. Damn you, Spotify.
Ooh! What was I going to ask? Oh, so, Rob, I am pissed because
I've been drinking.
Yeah, there is that. But I am also pissed because I thought that The Raid was coming out this past weekend everywhere.
It's
and
here.
It's only like New
what,
York.
You got a problem with Bucks?
No.
I think Rich, if you know anybody from Landmark, there is a Landmark screening of it this week.
April 6th is when it releases. I'm probably not gonna
there's a Landmark screening this week in the cities that have Landmarks.
Yeah.
Landmark Theater. So you might want to get a hold of your Landmark Theater and see when the screening is for press.
Well, I'll see if I can do that. I know that.
And if I can even find a contact for you, I'll send you that.
Well, I would appreciate that. I know.
Because I really want to see it.
Oh, I want to see it too. It looks amazing. What
is
were you
there
say,
such
Scott?
Thing? What is it?
The Raid is a what is movie. It? Is it a movie from the Philippines? Where is it originally from? Okay, but basically it is. Like the most insane foo and guns film of our time. It's like these 30 like SWAT team of cops goes into a high rise building to try to extract somebody from the building. And the building is controlled completely and utterly by this crime lord. And he lets them get into the building and then shuts the building down and basically tells all the criminals hiding in the building, okay, go kick some ass. And
it's
carnage ensues.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie Chow Yun-Fat should still be making.
Yeah, how old is Chow Yun-Fat now?
He's where is Chow Yun-Fat right now? Where is he?
Where is
that guy? Dad.
Well, you know what's interesting is if you look at well, Jet Li and Jackie Chan are now making films in Asia. Like, what was it the World War I film that Jackie Chan did recently?
Yeah,
1914, I think it is. Yeah, let's see. What is
have the Japanese ever made a film about Pearl Harbor from their point of view?
Yes.
I would be fascinated to see that.
It was called 1941 and starred John Belushi.
Let's see. This year, Chow Yun-Fat has two films coming out, The Monkey King and something called Tong Ke Tai. He was in a film called The Founding of a Party in 2011. He was in three films in 2010, including he played Confucius in a Confucius biopic. He was in The Founding of a Republic had a cameo in 2009, along with the Dragon Ball film that came out in 2009. And, so it looks like he has been doing a crap load of Asian films. And sadly, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Now, Aaron, what you should see if you want to see, I know it's not Pearl Harbor, but there's a really great, film, the Japanese made a great film about the rape of Nanking from last year called City of Life and Death. That's really good.
I know, I love my rape movies.
I'm sure that made big money in China.
Well, now here's the other thing I find interesting about the Chinese and Hong Kong films, they're doing a lot of IMAX 3D stuff. And I forget, I forget the film, but it was like they brought over James Cameron to basically like consult on doing the 3D properly, which I was like, holy shit. But yeah, like the Monkey King that is, coming out. When did I say? July is probably, it'll probably hit Hong Kong first, of course. Cantonese film with a budget of approximately $60 million US, and it is a 3D IMAX film. So,
is there a
chain
of theaters in the States called AMC?
Yes. I'm an AMC whore.
Okay. Well, they're doing on the build up to Avengers. The midnight showing of Avengers, they're showing all the Avengers movies that day.
The only reason why I'm not going is because I actually have to. I have a pack meeting that night. So otherwise, I would be there and sitting through the entire day, taking a day off of work. And sitting through
I'm
the entire
do that.
Oh man, yeah,
wait,
I'm
wait,
so
wait,
jealous.
Wait.
You're giving up all that for Boy Scouts?
Yes, for Cub Scouts, but
no.
Yes.
Hey, I will say to you guys, right?
Those of us who have kids have no right to judge.
Wait, those of us who have kids have no right to judge? What did you say?
Those of us who
we're not allowed to judge kids.
Have no right to judge.
Oh, okay.
We're kid
awesome.
Judging now.
I'm assuming, John, you do Boy Scouts because your son's in it, right?
Screw the kids.
Plus, John also hates gay people.
Soundboard, it bites.
Yes, I do, but I've been volunteering for lots of things for lots of reasons. So,
mostly first parole.
It has nothing to do with that, Aaron. I don't even want to get into that particular part.
I know it is like winding you up. It's my version of your British thing.
Let's.
Well, so dear listeners,
and touche, Aaron.
Well, hang on, let me just point this out for our listeners, because I think this is very educational. Is that mistaking an Irishman for an Englishman is the same as calling someone a homophobe? So there you go.
Wow.
But I was going to say that Avengers is being released a week earlier here.
Fuck you.
Yeah, screw you. Whatever.
Fuck you.
Yeah. So I don't think I can appear on the weekend justice that week.
you know what's great, Aaron? The week that it's out in Ireland, it's a press screening here, so you and I can talk about it.
Fuck you both.
We'll have our own podcast.
And Rob will be spoiling it left and right. Well, you won't believe that Loki wins.
No, I'm not even going to discuss the movie. So. But I'm still with you on five, so
but I have to say, I think the movie's been doing a really good job of actually keeping a lot of the stuff under wraps because we know the general plot points.
Yeah, I fucking hope so. Aaron, all I will say is that the trailers have been such wall-to-wall badass that they better have the film better be wall-to-wall badass, because if all the badass is in the – for most films, you have to admit, if they had showed that much badass in the trailer, you'd be like – okay, is this it? Have you just shown me everything? And I'm almost terrified because the trailers are so fucking good. Even though there's two armbands on Hawkeye, I'd like to point out that really bugs me.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, out of any movie that I was ever waiting to see, this is probably the first movie where I thought to myself, I don't know how they're going to fit in all the badassery. You know what I mean? Like, I'm already expecting a shit ton of badassery to be happening.
I don't even know how they're going
to squeeze it in.
The running time is 4 hours and 30 minutes. So
yeah, like, and that's what I would. And you know what? I'd fucking love it if it was. I would pay extra to see a 4-hour cut of that movie.
Get the Blu-ray release. You're going to be so happy.
I know. It's going to be weird, though, because Hulk's going to talk with an Irish accent. That know what's going on. But,
he is green.
Whenever Hulk gets angry.
Well, I think what it is, okay, now you remember how they had Marvel UK for a while with like Death's Head and a bunch of other comics that were supposed to be basically, you know, Marvel in the UK?
Was this before my time?
It might have been. You were probably three.
That was evil.
So the last thing you got was anything from the UK.
Anyway, so my point is, I think what we have is we have ultimate Marvel Ireland, in which they just basically repurpose everything with Irish accents. I think that'd be great. In fact, I think I think what I like to see it since you have your crew of Cabin Fever irregulars is that you should basically just redub a bunch of films for the Irish versions.
I think yeah. I think Irish Hugh Jackman would be quite fun as well. It's like I'm the best at what I do, Bob.
He isn't already Irish. I thought he was Irish.
Well, some people think I'm Australian, so
and German.
And German. Well, you know, you've never John pointed out these people to me, Rob. You have to point them out to me.
John, you know an Australian is a Mick with his head bashed in, right?
Oh, hello.
Wow.
Great. Great to piss off an entire continent.
Yeah, there's only 14 of them, so it's going to be all right. But still, you actually managed to make Aaron think about what to say, and all he could say was, wow. That takes some...
I'm sorry. Let me Aaron, just... I'm sorry.
Well done.
I didn't mean that really.
He actually, I'm just. He actually.
I'm kind of impressed. He if actually. Anything.
He actually. Never mind.
Nice. Oh my God. So yeah, I'm trying to. I'm trying to see if there's a running time. I have not been able to find a running time.
You know what we should do this year for DragonCon?
What's that?
Not
if
go.
We end up doing if we end up doing that, no, that's you, Scott. If we end up doing that, Doctor Who panel again,
wow,
we just throw right. any sense of political correctness out the window for an hour and a half.
Well, in fairness, I think we were getting the type of crowd that would have been susceptible to that, so I think we would have been all right.
I know, but it's still okay. Great.
Okay, got it. According to Wikipedia, which is always right, 135 minutes.
It's 2 hours, 15 minutes, right?
Yep.
That's respectable.
And that doesn't even include the 15-minute trailer for Avengers 2 after the credits.
or the 7.5 hours of trailers before it.
That's very true. Yeah.
You know, the thing I love about British movie screenings is that when you look at the run times in the papers, they tell you trailers this time, film starts at this time, which I just think is awesome.
Oh, well, no, they don't do it here at ours, and it depends on which kind of cinema you go to here, that whether or not they put the trailers on before the start.
But Aaron, he said British, didn't he?
I don't know. I might have to beat up a gay guy.
Whoa!
We don't know any of those.
I don't even understand.
That's all right, I do.
Oh, is this a Scouts thing? Do you get a badge for that?
No. Let's be very clear about that. No.
Can I just say, I think it's ironic that a club that don't promotes sewing on badges doesn't like gay people.
Hold on a minute. You're confusing that with the Catholic Church. Please make the difference.
Well, okay.
Well, I'd like to point out, Rob, that the difference is that the Scouts don't like it as an organization and don't act like it. But whereas the Catholic Church professes not to like it and then practices it. So.
That could be an ecumenical matter.
I don't know. I just think they've had a lot of wine. That's all it is, really. Yeah, I get a few drinks tipsy.
You need to fill up on the bread.
Experimental.
Yeah.
Oh, take this. This is my body. All right, so.
Have we reached the dead baby section of the podcast?
Aaron, I will say this. At least when you go to Ireland and you read the fucking signs, they make
Happy
sense.
Easter.
You go to Wales and you read the signs, it's like, where are the fucking consonants? Or the vowels, I mean.
Like, well, in fairness, we do put the Irish language with the English translation as well. And the Irish language isn't a million miles away from the Welsh one, though, I have to be honest. But at least we do give you the option of both.
There's no vowel. There are no fucking vowels in any town in Wales at all.
That's the deal. It's like, what's her name? Ronan. I mean, like, she's Irish. She has vowels. Saoirse. Yeah. It's not spelled like Saoirse. So it's not Saoirse. It's Saoirse is what it is. And it's somehow that's Saoirse because you pronounce the S. Cause of course you want to pronounce the SAO as an SH. Of course.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What are you? What? Now, he's speaking Chinese in the chat for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm typing three girls' names that are three Irish girls' names.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Now, I know how to pronounce all three of them. They're all actually three people I know.
Since they're Irish girl, okay. Of course, who is surprised that Aaron knows how to pronounce? Not only is he from Ireland, but he knows how to pronounce Irish girls' names. Of course, he does. You probably know how to pronounce girls' names in many, many languages.
Well, usually I just end up with ladies, but yeah. But no, I would love somebody to have an attempt at those three names because I just hearing Americans stumble over them.
Okay, yeah, fine. No. The first one is AOBN. Okay, the second one is chamomile, which is a type of lotion that you put on when you have poison ivy. And the third one is helfaha, which is what happens when you accidentally drink chamomile when you think you have poison ivy in your lungs.
Now, for people interested at home, the first one is
Bob Bundle.
The first one is Avine.
Avine.
The second one is Quiva.
Okay.
I think
that sounds repulsive.
Queef?
These are D&D characters.
you have people there named Queef?
Or Quiva.
Or character names in the Hunger
Games. You're not fooling me. I'm sorry, Aaron. You're not fooling me. Everyone knows that every kid in Ireland is named either Bono, Sinead, or Nick something or other.
Or Patrick or Mary. Those are the fallbacks.
These are dragon characters.
Or Dougal.
But the third one I think you'd be particularly impressed is it's Quilin.
None of this makes any sense. How...
It only makes sense to me because I've been brought up with it. I completely understand how it confuses the shit out of everyone else.
How do you get Q from C-A-O?
It's Gaelic.
Well, C-A-O-I, yeah. C-A-O-I gives a qui sound.
Typical Irish, that one letter they use for.
Because we don't have qui in our language. We don't have Q in our language. We don't have the letter Q in our language.
Well, that's because we just don't like
it. God, so what happens with Scrabble in 10 points?
Yeah.
Well, now,
a lot of low scores.
See, folks, you have
they
to understand.
They can't read.
We've no Z either. We've no Z either, and we've no Y.
You have no Z.
See, you have
so
to,
all those high scoring letters are gone.
You got to understand, it's a very poor country. They can't afford those letters.
But of course, because they're spending them all over here.
Well, hang on. It's just like, for example, since Ireland is aware that since their language. The Q, the Y, and the Z have been invented, okay, as a breakthrough in letters. They haven't adopted them. I mean, it's like chopsticks, right? The old joke about, you know, they're adhering to the chopsticks, even though they've seen the fork. They know it exists. They know it's better, right? But fair play to you for staying with an obviously archaic and, frankly, insane pronunciation structure. But
well,
I understand.
To be fair,
Yeah.
To be fair, it's not since World War II that they stopped referring to the country as not England. So,
I think it was officially renamed at that point.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I was going to say now. I was derailed by Rob's racism. It made the thoughts fall out of my head.
That didn't come quickly.
Sorry.
No, which be sure to copy those names down and post them because I think people would be very interested.
No, I remember what I was going to say now. It was because Widge was talking about how new words come up and stuff like that. A lot of new words don't get translated though. So if you're hearing like, because we have an Irish language channel, an Irish language television station, and Stephen Fry actually appeared on an episode of one of our Irish language soaps and did his best attempt at speaking in Irish. But
you know your language is bad when even Stephen Fry can't manage it.
No, well, it was part of the joke though. He was playing an Englishman, like trying to pretend to pronounce words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, Scott, actually, he was.
But the fun thing is that they don't bother inventing new words for a lot of new like things. So stuff like cornflakes is still cornflakes.
So, like, yeah. Especially when you're in school and you have to do a test where you're speaking in Irish to like an examiner, and you get to just like throw in like just like random like chocolate every now and again and stuff like that. Like it's my lump chocolate.
Oh, so you don't do the French thing. Where they will come up with a separate word.
What, surrender?
Well, I guess, French is still being used, though.
No,
French is still being used, like, by a whole nation. Like, Irish language isn't really being used.
Well, what I mean is, like, they will never adapt the English language. I mean, like, computer is oh, God, I used to know this. God damn it.
Well, in fairness, you got to be impressed by the French, because it's the one thing that they won't quit.
Well, Aaron, I'd just like to point out...
I don't know how to quit we.
You don't know how to quit we? Well, just...
Okay.
Well, don't take so much caffeine. See, the problem is you're taking in a lot of caffeine from this experimental drug that you're taking, and caffeine is a diuretic, which makes you piss more. So that's why you can't stop we.
Diuretic. That's that Scientology thing, right?
Yes, it might as well be. No,
yes,
Aaron,
and next was the pirates are going to be fighting scientists over.
Yes. Now, Aaron, I'd just like to point out that in fairness, there is racism, and then there is simply they don't teach geography over here. So I just don't confuse it.
Or anything.
Yeah, I hail originally from Alabama. I am lucky. I know there is an Ireland. Okay, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I know America has a weird history with slaves. I know you're not totally cool with us, so it's fine. I'm used to it. Don't worry about it. It's water under a slave-built bridge.
Aaron, I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell my Chinese friends. Thanks for building that railroad.
I wouldn't mind, but it's pretty shit. We did a crappy job on it, I'll be honest.
Well, the railroad itself was fine. It's when it got broken up and they didn't know how to run the trains. It was the problem. So don't worry about it. It's all good.
I have to say, I am quite shocked that the rail isn't the bigger used system in America, because it's like there's so many flat lands over there that it's, you know, that you could connect states and that people just don't seem to use at all.
Well, Aaron, part of the problem is that, as I understand it, the train system is run by the government. I mean, Amtrak is owned by the government.
Yeah.
And if there is ever
I thought it got bought.
I don't think so, because then it would be more successful. I mean, frankly,
Amtrak's huge here.
Well, it's let me put it to you this way. If I want to travel from
it's fine.
Well, yeah. Well, you have trains up there, but down here, if I want to go from Atlanta to say New Orleans, I have to basically, I think, go through like Cleveland and Chicago to get down to New Orleans.
Well, yeah, if I want to go to DragonCon on a train, I have to go St. Louis to Chicago, then Chicago across like the DC and then down.
Well, that's because one of the hurricanes took a lot of that infrastructure out, and they never had the money to put it back.
A lot of it is that there's forests in between that have been declared historical forests, and they can't go through them.
So,
the thing is, with all the investment they made in the 50s into interstate highways, I mean, how could the railroads compete? So, I mean, there's a lot of factors. I mean,
well, Aaron, here's what I always say about proof that the government can't really run anything very well. Is that and not to go into anywhere near dark territory, but just to point out that after 9/11, when nobody wanted to fly, if you had an alternate form of transportation besides cars that could actually get you places that were pretty much for the most part safe, where you weren't leaving the ground, if you had that and you had a monopoly on it and you still couldn't make it work after 9/11, that shows you have no idea what the fuck you're doing.
Well, the other problem they have too is that they have to lease the track. They don't own the tracks. They lease the track from the railroads. So, like, the only train, the most times I take a train is when I go to Chicago, because it's the shortest trip, and you can go round trip from St. Louis to Chicago for like $15 on a train. But where it gets tricky is that, like, what is supposed to be like a 3-hour trip sometimes becomes a 4-hour, 5 or 6 hour trip, because if there's a train coming, that's a railroad train. They have to pull off to the side, wait for the train to pass, because the railroad companies lease out the tracks.
Yeah,
and it's which if it would have been, if they were smart and someone bought the whole system and they can't relay new traffic, they're finally starting, they've finally started the bullet train here. But, you know, if they didn't have to lease the tracks, it'd be much more efficient. But they, since they leased the tracks, they can only use certain times. The times they use, but that I want to go, if I want to go to Chicago, are not necessarily the most convenient times, because they, you get the times that aren't prime times for shipping on the railroad. So, for example, if I want to go to a show in Chicago, most of the time, I'm either leaving at 4 in the morning or 8 in the morning. If I want to come back, I either have to leave at 9 in the morning out of Chicago and miss a whole day, or I have to leave at like 8 and come home ass late, because the block of time that I would normally use as peak travel time is the time is leased by a company, like a, by a rail, you know, a rail company needs it. So that's
yeah,
part of the aesthetical problem. I mean, it sucks. It's absolutely asinine. I really wish that when what's-his-face who owns Virgin wanted to buy Amtrak a couple of years ago and build high-speed rail across the country, I wish he wouldn't. I mean, he got so fed up with the bureaucracy, if he'd have to buy chunks of each railroad line, each parts of tracks you have to buy from like 5 different railroads. So like if you're going from like Missouri to Nevada, you would have to buy track or lease track if you want to run a train on it from 7 different railroads, which is absolutely asinine.
If the government was smart about it in a recession, if you wanted to create jobs, if you were getting people to build railroads again.
And that's what they're doing. They're building a high-speed rail here.
Well, they tried to. I mean, a lot of places were like, oh, we don't want government money. Yeah, like, we had the possibility of having high-speed rail in Florida, but no, Rick Scott says, oh, we can't have government money, that fucker.
There are retarded people everywhere. We can't make sense.
Well, my take on it would be that basically, look, all right, I would like to not have to drive places. I fucking hate flying based on how great the TSA is at keeping us safe. So what I would really like is if the problem is that you can't afford to lease good times, charge me more and lease the times. I mean, honestly, what would the ticket cost? Let me know and I'll decide. And if you can't get enough people, then fine. I'll go. But my thing is, I would be fine with sleeping on a train, but it's just 16 hours to get what I could drive there faster, you know?
Yeah.
If they had more lines that took you to places more like direct.
Yeah. It's like in order to get from Florida to Atlanta, you have to go up to Washington and then cross over. Yes,
that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, last year when we went to Los Angeles because Jana had to do Jeopardy, then we had to be in Phoenix for a wedding at the end of the week. And we're like, okay, we will just, you know, it's the Southwest. It's beautiful. We'll just take a train from LA to Phoenix and save some money. It's got to be cheaper than renting a car or fly, right? So I call around and I can't get a train from Los Angeles to Phoenix. And so finally I got this very nice Amtrak woman on the phone. I said, why can I only go to Flagstaff and I have to take a bus into Phoenix? And she's like, there's no direct train route into Phoenix from Los Angeles. And I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
And she said, please, sir, do not curse on me on the phone.
It was cheaper. Shut up.
Hello.
It was cheaper to fly from LA to Phoenix than it was to rent a car. It's asinine.
Yeah. And honestly, Rob, by the time you got to Phoenix, she would have been rising.
Exactly. I knew that joke was coming.
Sorry.
Boo.
Oh, okay.
Boo.
Boo.
Sorry.
Boo.
Are you saying boo or boo earns?
Boo!
Said that, though. There's nothing like the English railway system. The English railway system is amazing.
Oh, yeah. And I have to say, we're blessed with a pretty decent one as well. It's not great, but it is pretty good. I've used it a lot in my life. Like, it's handy.
Yeah. I forgot how often the tube was.
A lot of it, I think, is just cultural. It's like, you know, we're Americans. We want to go when we want to go whenever we want to go. And, you know, and it's just...
It's a conspiracy theory, but the guys who, like, take money off petrol, they want you to use buy your cars.
I had a day in London, and I could do everything I wanted to do just by getting on the tube and going, and it didn't take me longer than 20 minutes to get where I needed to go. You know?
Oh, yeah, that well-executed mass transit would be great. I mean, I wish we had it here in Atlanta. The problem here in Atlanta is that by the time I have – the time it would take me to drive from where I live to a station to get onto the mass transit system, it's I could have been to where I'm going. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, the problem is where they're going to get the money to make improvements.
Well, they could have gotten it for, I live in Cobb County, and Cobb County decided that they wanted to do their own transit system, which was a series of buses, because they didn't want the state, I guess the state funds or whatever it was to come in. So they don't have what we call MARTA here. And so I could, in theory, somehow find a bus to get on to take me to the MARTA system to take me into town. But again, by that point, I could have driven there. So
if you want to learn on how I should fix this system, please call 888-665-8825 for Help Me Rocks, and I can help you with all your transportation needs.
I'm sure she can. Here's a spoiler. Here's a spoiler. Blimps. So based on that, because honestly, Rocks, mass transit using blimps, it's awesome.
You can just jump.
No, Rock.
Seriously.
Rock. Make a note that when we do the Dragon Con parade, we talk about the mass transit that everyone took to get to the parade.
Okay.
We can use that as a talking point.
We'll do.
Bless you.
All right, so we should move to recommendations since sadly our attempt to be hired as consultants to fix the mass transit of the United States is probably going to fall on deaf ears. But we would probably fix it fairly quickly, I would just say. So we should move to recommendations so we can get on with our lives. So who wants to go first? Who is that?
I do.
Go, Scott.
Okay, I got a couple books here. One is, it in a way, is even a worse horror story than The Walking Dead. It's called 1,000 Lives, The Untold Story of Hope, Deception, and Survival at Jonestown.
Oh, ooh. Shit.
Wow. Yeah. What happened was the FBI has released a ton of material that they gathered at Jonestown and involving the case. And this woman went through it and really reconstructed what a lot of these people went through and why they were initially attracted to Jim Jones, and then how he manipulated and browbeat and drugged and used everything to convince these. I mean, the general conception of Jonestown is all these people were brainwashed. All these people were just more than happy to drink the Kool-Aid. But, you know, a lot of it was like – a lot of them were, you know, they were just happy to – a lot of them were happy to die because Jonestown was god-awful. You know, there wasn't enough food. You know, there was constant working. You had Jones haranguing all over the damn place. Some of those people just were like, that's it. I'm done. Because they didn't see any way of escaping from Jonestown. And what's really sad is, you know, he really manipulated you know, poor black people. You know, he came off as someone who was being inclusive about it back in the 50s when that was really taboo. But it was so much about, you know, self-aggrandizement and trying to bring in people that would, you know, an oppressed minority is great for establishing religion. You know, that's what, you know, Jesus did with Jewish people. So, I mean, it is heartbreaking listening to some of this stuff. And you really, really hope, you know, I know there are atheists here, but you really, really hope there isn't hell and he's in it, honestly. So it's heartbreaking, but it's something we need to, you know, keep an eye on because, you know, this shit, I mean, the Hail Bob people, this shit happens again if we don't watch out for it. Oh, shut up.
Thank you.
It's important.
How come no one ever asks question of like TV psychics of who's in hell? I would be if I was on one of those shows, I'd say, you know, is so and so in hell?
That sounds like a question that Rocks could help you with.
That's right.
Now, Rocks, I will say that what's his face, Ed Dames, who is the remote viewer guy, did a remote viewing about hell. So he actually looked into hell, and he made a big deal about that. Which is kind of hilarious. So I remember that from the Art Bell show. Now, he didn't actually give you a roll call of who was in hell, but he was talking about seeing Satan in hell. And it's just like,
Was Hitler there?
What's that?
Was Hitler there?
I honestly don't know. I don't think he actually said who was there other than Satan, because, you know, that would be going on record about something and you'd hate to be checked on that. You'd hate to be fact checked for where Hitler was in the afterlife.
Yes.
May I continue?
Yes.
Oh, you have more. Yes, please. Oh,
yes. Geez. The other book I have is Top Secret America, The Rise of the New American Security State. You know, this also refers back to what we were talking about before. And essentially, it is a look at,
you know, all the various secret departments that have been developed after 9/11, and people have thrown billions and billions of dollars at it. And you know what the big secret is, the huge secret is? Nobody knows what the fuck anybody's doing.
Well, and that's as Penn and Teller pointed out in an episode of Bullshit that they did about Big Brother, is that you're collecting all this data and there's just so much to sift through that it's just – you're just collecting it to collect it in essence.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, they talk about that. But another thing they talk about is that one of the authors, William Arkin, his big thing is doing research on top secret organizations. And after 9/11, he was seeing all these various like code names for various projects and departments and stuff. And he was trying to find information on them. I mean, he just decided, oh, what the hell, I'll try Google. And you know where he found the most information about these things? Monster.com. They were advertising employment opportunities, you know, and saying what they wanted and putting the code names in the descriptions.
That's the coverage for you.
Well, the thing is, I mean, yeah, the government, it's a mess. But you know what's also
Scott, what's this book name again?
Top Secret America.
Okay, I'll read this book, people. And I will come up with a mutual fund that you could invest in into an evil organization. How's that?
But only if you call Rox and help me, Rox.
888-665-8825.
Spaz House Trading.
Right. But the other thing is, it's not just the government. It's all these consultancy groups and what's the word I'm looking for?
Fuckwad?
The industrial military.
Yeah. I mean, they quote something that really makes...
Liberal media... sorry. Thought we were doing buzzwords.
No.
Chick-fil-A franchisers.
No.
The makers of Polygrip.
No. What they...
The staff of the New York Times.
Ooh. Except for Bill Cunningham.
Contractors. That's the word I'm looking for.
The Minnesota Vikings.
No, contractors. I mean...
Okay.
The thing they say is... civilian contractors make up about 29% of this workforce, but they take up nearly half of the budget. So it's like it shows that, you know, supposedly contracting out all this stuff is supposed to be cheaper because it's the private sector. No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
When you consider a hammer is $42.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They – and the thing is all the various – departments like Department of Energy, Department of Forestry, and all that, all of them have their own little top secret organization.
Well, I think,
but you know what, Scott? Just everybody's always had that. It's like the of all people that had their own secret police,
it's true.
The Air Force.
Oh, no, I agree. But the thing is, after 9/11, they just turned on the spigot.
Well,
now when they even try to like cut down on contracting, the problem is the government has become so dependent on them. I don't even know if we could get back to having it under complete government control.
Well, and Scott, here just to take it away from giving it to the private sector was the problem. Giving it to the private sector with no oversight and no idea of having any efficiency involved.
I agree with you. I agree. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the private sector, to its credit, will, like most people, if it sees a sucker, it'll take a dollar from a sucker. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, what I was going to say is I actually talked about that in the book is there are actually offices in these various departments that are supposed to keep track of this, but all the money going to these projects has increased, but the people that are supposed to keep track of this hasn't.
Oh yeah,
What?
Aaron posted something and it distracted me. God damn it!
So John, if you could get the robot ready to read that, would be great.
On it already. Somehow my
I love the robot.
One quick thing, and I'll be done, is one of the things they say is like all these, like, they're supposed to be congressional oversight of all this stuff. But the problem is the aides that they have to help the congressmen keep track of this, they haven't increased either. I mean, this thing is ballooned.
Well, the thing is, Scott, I'm sure that they've all – first thing they did was in order to create their little group, they also created their own lobbyist.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like what you need to do is you have to have your lobbyist first in order to start your own little group.
And of course they have the perfect thing to tell people. It's like, you love America, don't you? You don't want it to fall to the terrorists. Give us money.
Yeah.
But it is the problem is everything is so compartmentalized, so secretive and so boxed in that we have no idea what's working. That's the real problem. I mean, there could be stuff out there that is doing great, but we have no way of saying one way or another if it's working or not, or if it could be done cheaper or any of this stuff.
Well, if it can't be measured, it can't be managed.
That's the thing.
Yep.
It's a mess. It really is a mess. I mean, when somebody can figure out top secret information by going on monster.com, you have a problem. And that's the other thing is, like, with all this stuff going on, they miss shit. Like I said, there was one of the things they talk about, I think it's in Atlanta, is people that do research to find out about people's information, if it's been leaked online, and they find top secret shit all the time. And they keep going to the FBI and everybody's saying, hey, we found, like, the First Lady's itinerary for last month. And they're like, oh, okay. So
we found Amelia Earhart. She's been hiding in an old folks home the last couple of years.
Guarded by a gang from zombies. Yes.
We found a really great recipe for a cheesecake.
So you read it and you're like, it is amazing. We haven't been attacked again, honestly.
It's the cheesecake recipe that we found at Roswell.
Oh, man. They make the best cheesecake there. Just the altitude and everything. You think it's low. Really, it isn't. So
alien cheesecake would rock.
That's right. It does. A little chocolate sauce.
Ooh. Okay, so I am done dong.
All right, thank you, Scott. Nice. All right, John, is the robot ready?
Oh, yeah, he's ready.
Okay, go.
Oh, hold on. There we go.
Unlike Scott, who will give a dollar to a sucker. Hee 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 hee.
I like hee 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 hee. That amuses
me. Of course you do like hee.
Of course you do. All right, so who's next?
Me. I want to go to bed.
Go, Aaron.
It's recently reviewed on needcoffee.com, the video game SSX. And it has been out for a couple of weeks now. I bought it. I have it on Xbox 360, so that would be the version that I would be recommending. I haven't played the PS3, although there's very rarely any difference between the consoles. But yes, I think it's... I had the original games on PlayStation 2. They're actually... SSX was the first game I ever owned on PlayStation 2 when it was first released. And I was a teenager at the time, so a long time ago. And it's as enjoyable and easy to pick up and play as it always was. I think it lost a little bit of the cartoonishness that it used to have, and I think with that loses a little bit of the fun. But at the same time, it's probably increase in its challengingness, if that's a word, and I'm pretty sure it's not. Because you can fall off cliffs a lot easier than you used to be able to do, and they've added a lot more tracks. So I think it's still fun to pick up and play. Maybe try and pick it up second hand if you can, because you know probably not worth top dollar, but definitely worth to have in your game of library or library of games. If you want to, it's 4:30 in the morning, folks. Give me a break. But yes, bastard. SSX.
No.
Go bye.
You bastard. That was my recommendation.
Oh, wow. Nice.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
Good night.
Good night, Aaron.
Night.
All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Rocks.
There's been a lot of stuff lately. I've been reading on like Design Taxi and such about creativity at the moment. And I am going with Austin Kleon's. It started out as a little web type thing, but it's called Steal Like an Artist, where he breaks it down into 10 items that he wish he learned in school. The preface of the book is art is theft. a saying from Pablo Picasso. It breaks down to a lot of stuff that you do creatively is you steal a lot of stuff. And the book tells you how to look at art, what to steal, what to use later.
Does it talk about art is murder?
No.
No, that's meat, Scott.
Yes.
Meat.
God.
A lot of people will say, you know, like when you were growing up, it's like, oh, well, you need to find your niche. You know, you need to mature on your work. But he's saying, no, you don't. Just go out and do stuff. It also says, you know, your side projects are really good, like hobbies and stuff, which actually hobbies sometimes help you in your creative thinking. You know, you're actually doing something, you're actually focusing, especially in this helter-skelter world that we live in. There is a Zen moment of, you know, just going out and doing, meaning either you're reading a book, no email and stuff like that, of doing actually boring stuff, actually helps you doing creative stuff. So I'm going with steal like an artist. That's what I do, steal. And what? What?
And murder.
Well, I can't say that online.
That's meat, Scott.
It's meat. I do have a cool zine for Rob. I'm going to drop this in the mail. It's 904 Pinball
it's
Zine.
What?
904.
Okay.
Pinball Zine.
Nice.
And it's a little one, and it's little 8.5 by 11 folds in half and half. But the guy, who is this? What is his name? Bill. Bill creates this. Anyway, he wound up getting an article interview with George Gomez, who has actually designed a bunch of stuff for Stern Pinball. Some of the stuff he's designed was like Terminator 2 pinball machine and Medieval Madness. And so he talks about certain things that he'd like to see as pinball machines, sort of like ZZ Top having their own pinball machine and stuff. So it's actually kind of a cool thing. And it's actually local. So what he's done was he actually has a list on the inside of where you can find pinball machines around Jacksonville. So I'm going to send that to you, Rob, because it's actually kind of cool. So I'm done.
So, Rox, I'd like to point out an interesting fact that I had learned about Pablo Picasso.
Uh-huh.
That he was never called an asshole.
Yeah.
All the women love to stare.
That's true. All right, Rob, what you got?
Well, you stole my Pablo Picasso joke.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to recommend the Asteroids Galaxy Tour, speaking of games. But they're a band, Asteroids Galaxy Tour, and their album's called Out of Frequency. It's just bizarre, weird, sort of quasi-electronic pop stuff. So I want to recommend that because it's just odd and strange. And then also the Polyphonic Spree. I don't know if you are familiar with them or not, but they're very weird.
All 28 of them.
Yes, they have a new album out. What Would You Do? And I want to recommend that. It's a loads of fun. And then I've been watching a lot of old British films from the 60s lately. And I wanted to recommend a film called City of Night and Day. It has Richard Widmark in it. And it's awesome. And another one that you may want to invest your time and energy in as well is called Green Eyed Girl, which has which was done in 64 and has Peter Finch in it. And basically, it's the first movie Vanessa Redgrave ever made. But it's basically these two Irish girls from the countryside move to Dublin, and one of them falls in love for like a married writer, and wackiness ensues. So I want to recommend that as well.
Have you been watching the Angry Young Men series on TCM every Monday?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I never saw it. Tess was good. I saw that last night.
Yeah, but I'm getting caught up because I missed one. But yeah, it's pretty freaking amazing. So I do want to recommend that. And then the last thing I will
recommend for everyone if they get a chance to see it is the new Will Ferrell movie that I alluded to early, Casa de Mi Padre. And if you're a fan of Grizzly Adams, Mr. Dan Haggerty, stay through the end credits and you'll laugh.
All right, cool. Thanks, Rob. All right, John, what have you got?
I have a couple of recommendations to avoid. Coming out this coming out now is Hop, the animated claymation whatever film with a bunny hopping around, and also Alvin and the Chipmunks Shipwrecked. So if you could avoid both of those things, you'll be in good shape. Outside of that, buy anything that you need over at needcoffee.com/Amazon, I think would be the best place to go.
That you would be absolutely correct in that, John. In fact, needcoffee.com/Amazon, all it does, don't be surprised if you wind up at the front page of Amazon that is working as designed.
What?
I know, it's witchcraft. So yes, if you bookmark needcoffee.com/Amazon in place of your regular Amazon, just by doing that, don't just type Amazon.com. No one types anything in anymore. We all use bookmarks or we just search on Google. But don't do that either. Just go to needcoffee.com/Amazon. Or if you're across the pond, needcoffee.com/Amazon UK. I can see more people doing that because we've been harping on it. So we harp on it some more in the hopes that more people will do it. Because surprisingly, here's a trick about the Amazon affiliates thing, is that the more people buy, quantity, not dollar amount, but the more items that are bought, the higher your commission rate is. So it doesn't matter what it is or what high price a ticket it is or low price a ticket it is. It all helps us. So thank you. Thank you, all of you who are doing that. It's much appreciated.
So buy jelly beans a little bag at a time.
Yes, just single jelly beans and you can buy them. and you can stream them free on Amazon Prime. My recommendation will be just to go back over something that I actually recommended before because I am delving. But the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy Blu-ray has got a commentary from, as I mentioned before, I've been having problems. I was forgetting that I own the Blu-ray of Casablanca, and I haven't been sleeping well. So even less than usual, which is not much, like an hour and a half a night. So and then I dream about wandering around strange, darkened parking lots and being punched by people with cameras. I don't understand. But the Tinker Tailor commentary is Gary Oldman and the director of the film. And they don't – it's not one of those wall-to-wall we're talking commentaries, but it is fascinating because watching Oldman work again – is just ridiculous. And hearing his thoughts on the character and what George Smiley is thinking and so forth is rather fascinating. So it's just, it's a film that's worth watching again and then worth watching a third time with the commentary. So definitely pick that up. Although Universal, you can suck my off nut by putting an ad ticker on the main menu of the Blu-ray that updates ads from the internet. What the fuck? I bought your fucking movie. I didn't pirate it. So fucking just let me not see your ads.
Fuck all of y'all.
Exactly. I would like a Kickstarter that would basically come up with some sort of hack for Blu-ray players that would let you skip all the bullshit at the beginning and get to the menu if you wanted to, and basically strip all the bullshit off of things. We just want to see the movie. And you know, some people are so pissed, they will pirate your shit just to get around your bullshit. So
there was a hack with the DVD players where you could press stop, stop, play, and you'd go right to the menu. But yeah. They put a kibosh on that when they got to Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah. So, exactly. Fuck all of y'all. So there you have it. So we're at the end of recommendations, and we are at the end of our time. So I think I will, John, if you're
and
ready.
And on that bombshell, just like every week on Weekend, just as it's time to say, oh, hell no.
Robot guy is British now?
Oh, hell no. That's the new zombie catchphrase.
Hell no.
Oh, God. Oh, this is when we say goodbye.
Yes, that's right.
Oh.
And then flood the calls.
You typed it in.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
Flood the phones by calling 888-665-8825 or help me rot.
And don't flood the phones by taking too much caffeine like Scott has, because then you'll be doing wee a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait. The other thing?
Yeah?
Can I just pimp something real quick?
Of course.
because I'm
this part's not in the podcast, so.
Oh, okay. Well, you know,
go, Rob, go, pimp, please, pimp.
No, I ended up joining the 21st Century and made a Facebook page for my radio show. People have been telling me I needed to do one, and I didn't think anybody would care. So there is one now.
Oh,
so if you want to go to it for juxtaposition, my radio page, you can just do that. So.
We're going to friend you.
I already did. You like it. You don't actually. You like it. You don't actually.
Yeah, I'm not gonna flood it with lots of stupid stuff. It's mostly gonna be a lot of music stuff, and I'm posting a Foo Fighters thing for John later this week.
Oh well, if it's not stupid stuff, then I'm unliking it. I only like things that are stupid.
Okay.
And that's why he does this.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Is it facebook.com/juxtaposition?
Yes.
How do you spell juxtaposition?
J-U-X.
In Irish,
position.
Hang on. In Irish, it's C-O-H-I-J-L-L-N-A-H-N-N-A-N-N-N-N.
Oh.
No Z.
No Z. No Y-Q.
Yeah.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
How do you not have a why?
Well, because they don't love you?